United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
Let's go! ways to cover the costs. Longtermcare.gov. Find your own path forward.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Whenever my hopes and dreams aim in the wrong direction, she's always there. Don't need to come up to care. Always, always, always in my head. Whenever I am not, even if I hit the wrong, she's always in my boat. She's always there, telling me that how much she cares. She's always, always, always in my head.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends. Good morning. And it's 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. Today is hump day. Today is Wednesday. Time is flying by. Today is also the 6th of August, 2014. Time is going by very, very fast. We're getting ready for the canceled fair. Can you believe it? Sticks is in the city with me, and
where has the year gone?
Skip the year. I need to take a break. I need to take a break.
Want to go to Mid Ohio next weekend with Paul and I?
No. I said a break.
That's a break?
No.
We'll sit around a campfire. And...
listen, a mosquito bit me on my foot, on my toes the other day.
But
no.
We don't have mosquitoes.
Oh, yeah.
There are no mosquitoes.
Right, no.
Not around the Taj Mahal.
Listen, listen.
There are no mosquitoes around the Taj Mahal. We have devices to take care of that.
Listen here. Let me explain something to you. I am a city girl. I call vacation a plane ride, a hotel, and a spa. Not a trailer, a Taj Mahal, a truck, and a campfire.
But do you know the filth that's in those hotels? You've got bed bugs, and you've got other people handling your food with grubby mitts, and it's just, you do. Hotels just make me, give me the willies.
Huh?
Ugh. Ugh. You want to sleep in a bed that somebody else has slept in? Ugh.
That's why they change the sheet and spray it down. Who thinks about that? Say a go in there, say a prayer, go to bed. Absolutely.
Ugh.
Carry your bed with you?
Oh, yeah.
No. I like somebody that makes the bed up the next day. I leave the room and I come back and the room is made. That's good.
No, that's bad.
No, that's good.
You know, you get tired, you pull over, you get hungry, you pull over and make a sandwich.
No, don't make this. No.
Turn on a satellite dish?
No. No, we don't do all that. No. You fly? You
then I got to deal with TSA and all that crap, and then I got to be penned up with all those people, and all. Then you got more germs.
More germs?
More germs.
No more germs.
I'm about to get Ebola. I'll end up getting Ebola or something. There ain't no Ebola in the Taj Mahal.
I don't do Ebola. Ebola is, there's no Ebola in the hotel.
Oh, did you hear about what the magic drug is to kill Ebola?
No.
That they're giving these people?
No. Probably rat poison.
Tobacco. Nicotine.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It was developed in Owensboro, Kentucky, and it's a special strain of tobacco developed for medicinal uses.
Yesterday, I tell you what's really funny. I posted Ayn Rand's, what we played yesterday about Ayn Rand talking about the destruction of America.
Well, I bet you that wound people up.
It was really good. And I posted it on my Facebook page.
Yeah.
And you know Dr. Matt weighed in of talking about I wouldn't have opened up my mouth until he put the cigarette out.
Right.
But Mike Wallace was sitting there puffing away. You could see the smoke flying everywhere.
Yeah.
And it was really amazing to be able to see that they were interviewing, taping it, and no one, everybody was smoking.
Yeah.
That was just like, wow.
We forget. I mean, in the early
80s. It hasn't been that long.
No, it hasn't. In the early 80s, out of 100 and 150 guys on my submarine, there were 140 smokers.
I was a smoker.
Yeah, in the early 80s. I mean, everybody smoked.
Actually, when you go even back further, everybody smoked.
Oh, yeah. Well, and to give the corporations their due, I guess I could say, or it was amazing marketing and amazing foresight. That came out of World War II.
Did it really?
Largely, because, yeah,
well,
for
really,
example, Camel.
Before that, wasn't it?
Yeah, but, for example, Camel and Lucky Strike gave cigarettes to the troops. They were actually part of your sea rations.
I mean,
and
doctors,
they were donated. They were donated. I mean, so, you know, I mean, if and Coca-Cola. See, here's the thing that we don't realize.
You got a Coke and a cigarette, a Coke
well,
and a smile.
And that's what we don't realize about how much of our modern consumerism is still driven by World War II. Coke built Coke plants, Coca-Cola plants, in Europe behind the troops, and they gave the troops free Coca-Cola.
So that's why we're the pop nation.
That's why when the troops came home, they drank Coke instead of Pepsi. They get the Camel.
And there was cocaine in it.
Not at that time.
Was it taken out by then?
Yeah, it had been taken out by then. But and then Camel and I believe Lucky Strike both gave cigarettes to the U.S. government to put into the sea rations. So when you open your sea ration, you got a meal and whatever else is in there. I don't
and
know.
And a cigarette they have that right after your meal.
And a pack of cigarettes.
So that you could drink, you could smoke right after you had your meal.
Yeah, let me Google that. Contents of the sea
ration. Hey, good morning, Eric. How are you?
Good, Tracy. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. I'm a little tired this morning. I'm a little tired, but I'm doing good.
Hey, I didn't know that about the cigarette rations.
I didn't either. What do I know? I don't know nothing. You know I don't know anything.
Yeah. I know, that's one of my regrets. I wish I would have talked to my grandfather more about his days and back then, and I just didn't.
We were too young to be. We were too young and too stupid to sit down and talk about that.
Yeah.
No, they would have loved to talk to us about that.
Yeah, I could sit down for hours and talk to them now. Too late. At least we got guys like Sticks.
So what's going on with you? How was your evening last night?
It was raining.
Oh, my God. Hold on, Eric. I didn't mess up something. Jeez, old man. Studio. I changed that. Studio settings. Uh-oh. Oh, no. I can't find it.
What did you do?
I don't know. Hey, listen, let me take my
You're
break.
You're supposed to be the expert.
I'll be right back.
I'll see
you in a minute.
Howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Savers barbecue sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Savers barbecue sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Savers barbecue sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Savers barbecue sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples barbecue sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown
Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
Hey, we're back, and I don't know. I figured it out. Oh, don't be messing
you
with me.
You are all concerned.
I told you I was tired.
Yeah, I found it. Sea rations.
Hold on, wait a minute. I got to tell them I'm back.
Oh, we're back. In the USSR?
No. No, we're not back in Russia. We're not back. We're back. I figured it out. They're not going to shut us off.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Go ahead, talk about sea rations so I can write
right,
440.
Yeah. We got a package of biscuits, a package of graham crackers, package of sugar tablets, meat can of ham, Spam. For breakfast, chicken for dinner or turkey for supper, fruit bar for breakfast, caramels for dinner or chocolate bar for supper, powdered coffee for breakfast, bouillon for dinner, lemon for supper, one piece of chewing gum, four pack of cigarettes, one package of toilet tissue, one wooden spoon, and matches.
Wow. And that was for a sea ration?
That's a sea ration.
Good morning, 440. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing good. It's the time is flying. I'm tired.
I hear you. I'm tired this morning, too. I don't know about World War II, but I can tell you what they had in the K rations in Vietnam, and that was they gave you some kind of can with it would be meat or something like that. I was expert at that, cooking it. I cooked mine with napalm. No, I seriously, I did. I took some out of the bomb dump.
Sterno for real men. That's Sterno for real men, 440.
What's that? Yeah, really. That's what it was. It was Sterno. But the type of cigarettes we had was Lucky Strikes, Camels. I'm sorry for the racket. Camels. Chesterfields and Pall Malls, and none of them had filters. And I'll tell you what, you smoke one of those, and good night, Irene. Oh.
Now, were you a smoker?
I was for a short time, yeah. Then I quit. There's
what
no
made
percentage
you quit?
In it. Not good for you, my family history, too, as far as heart disease, that kind of thing. So I
how long did you smoke?
I think it was like 16, 17 years.
Okay.
So, yeah, somewhere right around there.
You didn't have to wear a patch, did you?
No, I just plain quit.
Oh, you're one of those. You can just say, I don't want to do that anymore and just stop.
It was hard. I'm not going to lie to you. It was pretty hard.
Did you taper off or you just threw them away one day?
Well, I'll tell you exactly how I did it. I would light one up, take a couple of puffs, put it out, then maybe an hour later I'd do the same thing and did it that way until I got down to, I think it was down to one cigarette.
I quit so many times it was unbelievable. Smoking was the hardest thing in the world for me to quit.
It's hard, you know. And you know what? I think that they put so much stuff in it right now to addict you.
It makes it even
harder. So, yeah.
I believe that there's carcinogens in there to make it addictive.
Well, I mean, when people will buy cigarettes rather than buying groceries for their kids, there's something wrong.
That's priorities.
No, it's not. I honestly believe it's an addiction. I honestly believe they put something in it to make it that addictive because I've read studies where it was designed to.
Because you're not
smoking raw tobacco anymore.
But what I'm saying is the difference is I don't think people equate. They would rather smoke than eat. And they use it as a people, and especially impoverished people. But a lot of people use it as a coping mechanism. Because I'd love to see the studies now of the income levels of smokers based on their economics.
High income people don't smoke.
And so they look at it as a coping mechanism, and this is my only vice. They drink a beer, and they smoke a cigarette.
Right.
And it's not like they're taking food out of their children's mouths, but it's the only recreation that they have. It's the only thing that they do. So they don't rationalize it as you would a common sense thinker saying, it's costing me $5 a day, times $30, 30 days in a month.
And that's half my rent.
They don't look at it that way.
Right,
and we don't teach them any better, because if you still look in impoverished areas, cigarette advertising is still very, very proficient.
Mm-hmm.
It's still very well executed.
Well, you know, in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, even into the 60s, it was fashionable to smoke.
Absolutely.
Well, you had doctors. Bona fide doctors advertising for cigarettes because they're good for your throat.
Yeah. That's funny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was a festival thing.
Yeah. So I'm glad that we've come where we have with tobacco. I mean, but what worries me is now we're going to the same place with marijuana.
Not really.
Not really. You know
they're not advertising.
Yes, they are. This last Sunday in the New York Times, there was an advertisement for a brand of marijuana.
But not, I don't want to say it. I don't think it equates. It's not fashionable. At one time when you opened up, when you watched a movie, Lucille Ball, mm-hmm. Humphrey Bogart, you know, Duke, everybody, you know, it was a thing to have a lit cigarette.
Right.
Everywhere. Mm-hmm. You don't see that with marijuana. It's
today.
Today.
Next week, what month, next year? Well, Cheech and Chong.
Now you got a point there. Cheech and Chong, yeah.
Cheech and Chong made a lot of money on
on getting high.
You know what? What a lot of people don't know, in the Amish community, they love tobacco products.
They smoke a lot.
Oh, yeah.
They love it. They are big smokers. Big
smokers. Are they really?
I can't even tell you. I mean, you wouldn't even believe me. I mean, it's just great. They love it.
But then do they grow their own or do they buy it?
What's that? No, they buy it.
Do they grow their own or they buy it?
It's hard to grow.
No, they buy it.
Northeast Ohio, it's awful hard to grow tobacco.
It's not hot enough here?
Yeah, they're growing
that and sweets. They love sweets. Oh.
But you know, like my dad, my dad has told me many times, there's a big difference in the way we use tobacco today and the way they used it 100 years ago. A guy would come in from working for a day, and he would smoke a cigar or he would smoke a bowl of tobacco in the evening. And now, you know, people have a cigarette hanging out of their mouth 24/7.
Yep.
Well, you know, we have, if you really look at it, but smoking, at one time when you opened up a pack of cigarettes, the smell that would come mm-hmm. from the it was just wonderful. It was a wonderful tobacco, clean mm-hmm. smell.
Mm-hmm.
The carcinogens that they put in the packs of cigarettes now, and not only that, when you first lit your first cigarette out that pack, there was a flavor, and there was a taste, there was something that was there that, after a while, it's no longer. Today, that's the pack. Opening up a pack of cigarettes, you don't have the same smell.
You don't keep.
And your first toke on that cigarette is not the same.
So we used to keep them in the freezer.
To keep them fresh.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you buy a fresh pack of cigarettes, they don't have that smell. They don't have the same taste because of the chemical compound that they put inside of it now.
It's been probably 15 years since I bought a pack of cigarettes. I couldn't tell you what. And what was the hardest thing for me to quit was there were so many good memories that went along with the smell of the tobacco, because my grandfather would take me fishing when I was a kid, and I would wake up in the morning to the smell of coffee and cooking bacon and tobacco smoke. you know, and that was kind of a psychological memory of my grandfather, you know. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into this addiction. I guess you could call it an addiction.
All I know is it's not the same today. It's different. And I'm not, and as I said, you know, we were talking about the
$56 a carton. You ain't kidding me. It's different. What was the first pack of cigarettes you what the first pack of cigarettes you bought cost, Tracy?
50 cents.
Mine was
like
45.
Do you want to hear my favorite memory?
Go ahead.
My favorite memory was rolling around in the back seat with my girlfriend and then sucking on a cigarette afterwards.
You know, I don't. You know, you listen, Stick. Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
This is 440.
Yeah.
You have to be careful when you say yes to him. There are some people that you don't say yes to until you say what.
Okay.
You just don't give him an open.
Okay.
You know, you want to hear, you just don't say yes. That's not the answer for him.
Okay.
His is like,
maybe.
So what are you going to talk about? you can't trust him like that. He's not to be trusted.
I had to do that for you today. Did that wake you up?
You were waiting. No. No. Hey, listen, I gotta tell you guys something, and this is political. And I'm not trying to be
Ed Fitzgerald.
Yes, I'm not trying to be mean or anything. But Ed Fitzgerald, he's running for governor in Ohio. Why did he have a learner's permit for 10 years?
The same reason that he says nothing was going on at 4 o'clock in the morning when he was parked with somebody who wasn't his wife.
Well,
he was smoking a cigarette afterwards.
I hate that, Tracy. I get caught at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
In a car behind a building with someone who's not my wife.
They were talking
about, I'm not going to have a wife
listen,
anymore.
Listen. You don't understand. He gave the explanation was. Now, understand. This is the explanation. They got lost. They pulled over. They started talking because they didn't know where they were going. And
wasn't he like 3 miles from his house or something?
I can't answer that. I can't answer about how far he is from his house because it was dark.
Anna County's been a county administrator of for years.
But why did he only have a temporary driver's license? Why did he have a temp? How long? I mean, he had a
but
temp
if
for 10 years.
A temp, you can't drive by yourself.
That's why you had somebody in the car with him.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. You guys are missing it.
Oh, okay. I'm serious.
I want to meet her because she sounds like she'd be Gumby if she's in the back of a Ford Focus. Are you kidding me? In the back of a Ford Focus.
She wasn't in the back. She was in the front.
And arms and legs going everywhere. Like, what the hell is that? I figured this guy'd be driving a big car. He's in the doggone Ford Focus. Come on.
Come on now. It was a. He needed to. You know, they were. Listen, he got lost.
Yeah, I'll bet he did.
This is the story, and he's sticking to it.
That's another old joke. Let's not do that. Let's not go there.
Go where?
No, never mind.
I'm not saying it. Walk right over top of that one.
What?
Go right over top of that. Forget I said a word. Me and 440 understand the joke. Just never mind.
Doggone right. I was hoping somebody would catch that.
Eric probably does, too.
I was hoping somebody would catch this. Okay. I love calling up here. You guys are something the heck else, you know that?
Hey, I can't help I'm naive. I don't know anything.
Everybody in this room has rode the short bus to school, so that's why we're special.
That's right.
That's right. Yep.
This
and
is
I
short
was in the
bus.
Front seat. I was in the front seat.
You know, we all rode the short bus. This is a short bus radio program. Sorry, guys.
Tracy.
Yes?
We're coming up on 9:30.
And your point is?
We've got a guest you need to call.
I don't want to call. I don't know if they're going to be as fun. Listen, I'm going to take a break when I come back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. We have a desk. We're going to talk about prepping today. And see if we can get ready for the future. We'll be right back.
talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
I'm Willie Flores with your headline news. A former Air Force officer is the county's Republican Party's choice to fill the unexpired term left by the late Trumbull County Commissioner Paul Hetzel. The party made the decision at a meeting Tuesday night. J.D. Williams of Liberty will run on the Republican ticket this November. The judge presiding over the corruption case against two Valley politicians and attorney Martin Yavorsik is denying a bid by Yavorsik to serve as co-counsel in his own defense. A Poland businessman is going to prison for ordering two former employees to discharge brine and oil field waste into a Youngstown storm sewer. Federal judge sentenced Ben Lupo to 28 months in prison and fined him $25,000 for violating the Federal Clean Water Act by ordering two former employees of his Hard Rock Excavating Company to dump oil and gas well waste into a storm sewer on Salt Spring Roads in Youngstown. For WSOM News, I'm Julio Flores.
This is Becky Wall from Deering Compressor. Are you looking for a career and not just a job? Then we may be looking for you. We are searching for talented, trained individuals to fill our wide range of positions from entry level to quality inspectors, machine assemblers, and certified welders. Deering Compressor is proud to support the area's local education and training centers that have developed programs and degrees to prepare our local workforce for the jobs of the future.
Accessible, affordable. Those are the two most popular reasons our students choose Eastern Gateway Community College. Eastern Gateway is one of the fastest growing colleges in Ohio because students recognize this is a great place to get their career prepared or to get transfer bound. We have programs that are in demand in the health, public services, engineering, IT, business, and social services. You can apply at Eastern Gateway Community College by calling 1-800-68-COLLEGE, extension 212, or go on our website, egcc.edu.
Deering Compressor, proud sponsor of Putting America and Our Valley Back to Work.
Wings and Wheels, Saturday, August 9th, tractors and motorcycles. Sunday, August 10th, airplanes and classic cars. Live music, food, aviation demonstrations, airplane rides, and fun for the whole family. At Sloss Airfield, North River Road, Warren, Ohio. Get your discount tickets in advance. Find out more at erniehallaviationmuseum.org.
Sponsored in part by Trumbull County Tourism.
Safety, safety, safety. I'm saying it three times. Studies show you need to hear something three times to remember it. So remember, safety, safety, safety is important to me, me, me. That's why I love Grainger. Grainger has the products to help keep our facilities safe and people safer. Say it with me, kid. Safety, safety, safety from Grainger, Grainger, Grainger. When you think safety, think Grainger. Get it? Got it? Good. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looking for a good deal on contact lenses? Well, probably won't pay you to spend a lot of time looking.
Hello.
That's because the major manufacturers of contacts are now imposing minimum prices on retailers, something that would have been illegal under the antitrust laws just a few years ago. It's legal now, though, because of a Supreme Court decision that said the practice was basically okay. Cell phone calls are still banned on most airlines, even though other electronic devices are now okay. That may change, though. The Transportation Department is considering imposing a ban on cell phone calls in flight. The airlines aren't happy about it. They say they should make their own decision, even though polls show overwhelming opposition to in-flight yakking. And here's something surprising. A new study finds that lap infants have a higher death rate than other children on airliners. The number's still small, but the difference is statistically significant. The reasons aren't yet clear, which is why the scientists who conducted the study say more research is needed. I'm Stacey Cohen. You can learn more at consumeraffairs.com.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And we have Anthony Kovac with us, and he's going to talk to us about preparation disaster preparedness.
Disaster preparation.
What are you doing?
Preparedness.
Preparation disaster preparedness. Hey, Anthony, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having us on.
Oh, it's good to have you on. Good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us a little bit about you and how do, because people don't pay, we don't think that anything bad could happen to us until it happens.
Well, that's true, and more and more we see in the news activities because we as people have moved into areas where disasters take place on a more frequent occurrence. Now, in the past, where there was few people in many of these metropolitan areas, no one realized that hurricanes and tornadoes and stuff, they were there, but they just heard about it from people in the country folk. But now many more people have moved in the country areas. They've moved in suburban areas. So now they're in places where hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes affect more and more people in the world, and they don't really understand why these things are happening because it just didn't happen in the past because there were few people in those areas.
All right. Now, aren't people that are in urban areas more susceptible to the effects of a disaster than people in rural areas?
Oh, they are more susceptible in the sense that the population is far larger. But a lot of those areas kind of like haven't really, you know, most of the areas on the planet that were settled by people, you know, in the 1500s and beyond, you know, before that, what happened was those areas were less prone to these things. But as we expanded in the country, we have expanded into areas that are more prone to, you know, the disaster type thing. So the weather, when you start living in the coast, such as Florida, we live in Florida, and more hurricanes come in that part of the world where before Florida was an empty place. Now it's going to become the second largest populated state next to New York and California. So what happens is where before no one thought about hurricanes because it came on all the time, because there was nobody here or a few people here. Now, with the amount of millions that are here, people are not prepared. And especially when places like Florida, more people are coming in from the New York area, Northeast, throughout all the 48 states. They come to Florida, and they've never seen this kind of activity when it comes to the weather, the weather systems. So people need to be more prepared, more organized to take, to be ready for these kind of issues.
So what kind of things do you see these people that move into Florida, say Florida from the Northeast? What kind of things do they find new that they need to be working on?
Well, they need to know that Florida is a peninsula. What happens is it's really long, and when you need to evacuate, you got to travel real distances in order to, leave the storm area, because any part of the state could be affected with a storm. So you almost have to leave the entire state because they don't know where it's going to hit. They kind of know which direction, whatever. But the center of Florida is basically, like South Florida, it's all Everglades. but you can't really stay there. So you really have to leave the area in huge distances if you're especially in the Keys, Miami area. You have to get out, you know, whether it be Naples, all that whole area on both sides of the coast. Florida's not that, you know, not that wide. So you really have to be prepared in where you're going to go once they tell you to evacuate. You know, how are you going to proceed, because traffic gets, you know, packed. Fuel becomes scarce, and it becomes harder to know how far to go. Places like the Midwest, you know, hurricane alleys, you know, when people migrate to that area, they're not used to hurricanes. They're not used, tornadoes. They don't know where to go, what to do, how to take shelter, how to maintain their lifestyle without, you know, they just show up like, oh, my God, like a hurricane, you know, tornado, what is this? What do we do? So you got to be prepared. Every area of the country has its problems. So if you're moving in from one area to another, you must investigate what are some of the disaster things that take place. Is it flooding? Is it tornadoes? Is it severe winters? Is it hurricanes? What happens? How should you be prepared? What are the evacuation routes? How much supply should I keep on hand in case I have to evacuate at a moment's notice? How do I communicate with my family and friends if we all live and work at distances? And how do we regroup without, you know, being afraid of what happened to one another and not having to go in and search for people during a disaster when they've already left the area? So these things are important. How to maintain your safety in disaster zone areas without having to scramble and wonder what's happened to one another.
So what would be step number one for a family to prepare for, say, in Ohio we have tornadoes and blizzards?
Very good. So let's say, you know, step number one is to have enough resources like food. Soups are the best, canned soups, they have a good shelf life. Water, obviously. Those are the two essential things. Things that you can throw in your car and run. Run like hell when they tell you to evacuate. You have to have that ready to go. Two, you have to have a plan. Where do you go first? What is, you know, do you go north? Do you go south? Where is the issue coming from? In which direction should I go? So everyone knows where to go first, where to go second, where to go third. Communications usually collapses during that period of time. You know, some places may have power, some places may not. Your phone may not work in some areas, but may work in others. So you need to know that everyone's going to go first here if the hurricane or tornado or whatever happens first. If that area is affected, we go to place number two. So this way everyone knows where to regroup or call ahead to say that you're fine, you're out of the danger zone, and you're working your way to that direction, or you're going to relocate and go somewhere else. Because the most difficult thing is, if you're thinking that if you're thinking that one of your family members has perished or you don't know what's happened, you're going to be thinking the worst. And there's nothing worse than the imagination of a human being thinking about one of his loved ones, you know, is stuck someplace or trapped or hurt in that situation. So you don't want that in your mind. You want to at least have a plan to where everyone knows where everyone's going to be, where they are, and if they called in, are they fine? Are they out of the danger zone? And they're ready to regroup.
So say we evacuate, and
yes.
How long should my family be prepared to quote unquote live off the grid before the civil service or civil authorities start to restore normal services?
I recommend at least 2 weeks to have enough supplies for the entire family at the house, to where obviously you may not be able to take all 2 weeks supply with you. You may have to backpack. You may have to, who knows what the situation may be, but you got to be as ready as possible, because it takes 2 to 3 days before civil authorities finally get their situation under control, in the sense that the storm may take one day, but it doesn't actually clear for another 2 days. So they can't just, you know, get in there while in the middle of the eye of the hurricane. So the storm may have, you know, destroyed an area, but it's still lingering in the vicinity. So they don't have the ability to actually regroup and assess what has happened while the storm is still, you know, lingering around, if it's a hurricane-type thing. Now, obviously, a tornado, it comes, it goes. Civil authorities, you know, it's a path. So it's not like the whole, you know, 30 miles, 50 miles, 100 miles has been affected. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying. You know, we have family in hurricane areas, you know, Charleston, South Carolina. So we dealt with Hugo, and then, of course, here in Northeast Ohio, we deal with tornadoes and blizzards.
Exactly.
So
go ahead.
How much would you recommend, how much food would you recommend, food and water, would you recommend being able to throw in your van or your trunk of your car at a moment's notice to bail?
As much as you can. If you have your supplies, I'm talking about the kind of supplies that does not rot, the kind of supplies that is easy to use. You don't want the kind of supplies where you're going to have to mix a bunch of stuff to make dinner, you know, like you're cooking at home. You know, canned goods are the best resource for this purpose. You know, soups, it's already been cooked. It's already pre-cooked. Even if you don't have utensils, you can open up a pop-up can, you know, the ones self-opening cans, and actually with a spoon or you can chuck it down just by, with no utensils whatsoever, and you can be eating. That's the kind of stuff you want to be, because you don't want to have to cook something. You don't want to have utensils if you don't have them with you. You don't want to have to be able to start a fire or create a fire to warm up the meal and cook the meal. Those are the things that make it more difficult to actually prepare and actually be on the road when you have to have the kind of stuff that you need, like a campfire or a campground type setup. You want to eliminate as much of those things as possible, so this way you only have just the food, just the water, and if you have other stuff, even better. But just in case that stuff happens to disappear, or 3-4 people are part of the family and have to separate, who's going to take all the utensils? Who's going to take this thing? Who's going to take that stuff? You want to have the food as much as all ready to eat as possible, you know, kind of like your beef jerky type stuff. It lasts a good long time. It's ready to go. You open the bag, you're eating.
Yeah, I was just going to say basically trail mix and bottled water.
Exactly. But those are more snacks. You need real food. You know, for a day or two, snacks are okay. But real food is far more better. Now, your medications. Medications are important. You know, if your medications are almost empty, a lot of the chains, meaning the chain pharmacies, they're all interlinked. So from one place to another, it doesn't matter. If you have medication in that pharmacy and you have to go a state over to the next pharmacy, you can still continue to get your medication. You have your pets, you know, children, as much as their food as possible, their toys, because you want to keep them calm while you're scrambling and heading out of town. It's so important to keep kids calm, because if kids are angry and frustrated, especially little ones under 5, you can have anxiety issues where, let's say, one of the parents is not there and they have to travel with people that they may not know very well. It's best that they have their favorite blankets, their toys, their medications especially, obviously. And
let me hold you up on medications. What should people do that have medications that require refrigeration?
Yeah, I mean, today's little coolers. You know, you have little coolers, you know, those plastic foam coolers that you can just put ice in and stuff like that and keep them cool. Those coolers with enough ice, it'll last you several days if you're using it for basically just your medication and some spare stuff. So that can be a real problem. And that's why you have to really plan ahead of where you're going to go. If you're going to hotel, so let's say you have to head out of town and they've evacuated your area, you have to know where possibly you're going to stay, so you can make reservations in advance. So if you have to head, let's say, 200 miles away, you should know some of the hotels in the areas that you're going to go to. So this way you can pull ahead and make reservations. So at least you have a room to stay, refrigeration, and all the other amenities of a hotel room rather than trying to get lucky. And
all right, I'm
going
to be going to break here, so I'm going to hold you up, and after the break, we'll be coming back.
Thank you.
Yep.
Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years' experience in the business, our expert staff work slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
Concerned about your health? Confused about the amount of prescription drugs you are taking? Wondering which vitamins to take? Call Dr. Matt Mason, board-certified wellness physician as well as a chiropractor at Mason Wellness Center. Dr. Mason combines nutritional therapy, functional medicine, and chiropractic services to keep people healthy and get those of you that are ill feeling better faster. Mason Wellness Center is located on Layer Road in Warren, Ohio. To make an appointment or to receive additional info, call our office at 330-219-6450.
The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren. Call 330-766-5778 now to schedule a complimentary facial. 408 East Market Street in Warren.
You know, it's about time I got what I want when I want it. I'm not going to hang with One Direction or talk politics with Bono, but thanks to Ardio, I can get 20 million songs whenever I want. Download the free app now and start your musical journey with Ardio. RDIO.com.
State Farm, this is Andrea.
Yeah, what if I get into an accident in, say, Accident, Arkansas?
Anywhere in the U.S., State Farm has you covered.
Uh-huh, and if I hit the only tree in Lone Pine, California?
We'll send a tow truck right over.
What if I get dinged in Denton?
North Carolina or Texas?
Both.
Then we'll send two trucks.
Well played.
State Farm handles more claims than any other company, over 35,000 per day. Call 1-800-STATE-FARM and get to a better state.
You tell kids at the ranch you love them, they get tears in their eyes.
They're like teenagers.
Jumpstart your day with the I-Man.
It's a beautiful morning.
Especially when you get in the sleeping bag with them.
Yeah, they're crying all right.
Yeah. This is the kind of image that's not going to be helpful.
No wonder you think this cell phone's from us.
Oh, God.
Northeast Ohio's home for IMUS. Right here on News Talk 600 WSOM. This time, it's personal. The local talk show that keeps you thinking about local, regional, national, and global issues. Let's get back to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Everyone faces their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point.
330-781-9600, 1-800-530-WSOM, or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. That's Fix in the Studio with me, and we're talking to a gentleman. His name is Anthony, and he is telling us how to be prepared for natural disasters. And it's something that we don't think about until after, you know, it's over, said and done, or it happens to us, or we see it, and it's like, I would not be prepared.
Right. I mean,
Anthony?
Thank you for having me on again. Yes.
I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
You saw what happened in Toledo, Ohio recently. About them not having Toledo, something happened with their water. So they weren't allowed to bathe. They weren't allowed to drink. They weren't allowed to wash. Everything was, their water system was completely shut down because of an algae.
Yes.
And people were not prepared for that at all.
That's true. The more things like that are important, that the communities in an area, the people that live in these communities, be involved in their political situations. People think that the government is someone else. We are the government. When things like that happen,
what a novel idea.
It's because we, the people, are not paying attention and are not knowing what is actually going on. They're not participating in their county commission board meetings or their city council meetings. They're not watching what people are doing, what the resources that they live in are, you know, what's happening to them, and to be a participant of what's happening. You know, flooding, you know, when an area gets to the point where it's flooding, the problem with that is you should not be at the point where, oh, wow, look at that, you know, the banks of the river about to crest. You should know that these things are taking place. What is the protocol for an area to handle these things? If a dam is almost ready to burst, you know, it should not be at the end where, oh, my God, how did this happen? You should know that at a certain level, you should be prepared. The dam is at a certain level. It could break any time if we had a torrential storm in the area. If we had another 3 inches of rain, guess what? That dam is going to overflow. Or that levee is going to break. So you need to know in your community what's happening. In a case like algae, yes, is it something that the people should have known? What were the symptoms before that for it to take place? And could they have done anything? So if you're not participating in your, you know, evacuation, emergency management, you know, today the federal government is using the cell phone technology to notify people that something is happening. So if, let's say, a tornado is popped up at a certain area, your cell phone will begin to ring to tell you a notification that a, you know, a tornado is going to take place in your area, et cetera, et cetera. So the federal government and government agencies are trying to do things that will protect us in the long run by making sure that we are notified, because not everybody's in front of a TV or a radio to know what's happening.
Do you have a website?
It's the website is just a resource. It's called emergencyprepping.org. Just spelled out exactly that way.
Okay. And how did you get into, you know, really being concerned about preparation and disaster management?
Well,
what caused
being
you
part
to do that?
Of being in Florida, we've put up with a lot of the hurricanes that took place, storm after storm after storm. We've had, you know, numerous blackouts for days and weeks. You know, when you go to the store, everything on the shelves. You know, being from the north, relocating in the Tampa Bay area, you know, this was new to me. Never had an idea of this kind of stuff. I saw it on TV. It was interesting. Wow, look at these people, you know, scrambling. Now I'm one of those people scrambling during these events. And I was never prepared. They didn't have a clue. So I had to actually go through the lifestyle of being in a hurricane area. Now, it wasn't until the Sandy storm hit the, you know, came up the Northeast that affected my hometown in the New York area, that I was guiding people on how to prepare. And several months after, it was a discussion on writing a book on it. And that's where the book came in, the website came together, and it's just a resource. the book is not a discussion of, you know, how to prepare and what to do and this and that. The book is basically a product of products and things that you should do that are simple. Where to go, what to do, you know, what kind of products, solar power panels, solar power this. You know, they have, now they're solar-powered refrigerators, solar-powered freezers, solar-powered air conditioners. You can maintain your communications even if you're off the grid. Some of this stuff is really not that expensive anymore.
I got a question for you, Matt. I got to take a break real quick. And can you stay on for a while? I take my top of the hour break for a moment?
Absolutely.
Well, good. I'm going to take my top of the hour break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We're talking with Mr. Anthony Kovac, and he's talking about preparedness in a disaster. We'll be right back.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
On the phone, I'm doing an interview in Ohio.
Bo Bergdahl will have a chance to tell his side today. But if he were Brian Buffard's client, he would hear...
Don't cooperate with law enforcement.
Buffard, a military lawyer, says Bergdahl has a right to keep quiet.
If they're investigating you, they're not your friend, and they're not trying to help you.
Bergdahl could be charged with desertion based on what he tells an investigator today. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
The truce in the Middle East is holding for a second day between Hamas and Israel. ABC's Jordana Miller is in Jerusalem.
The harmless sound of traffic has replaced deadly explosions in Gaza as Palestinians get back on the roads and back on the streets. Open-air markets, stores, and cafes are bustling once again. Some are even sunbathing at the beach. But nearly 200,000 Gazans have no home to go back to. They're still sleeping at UN shelters.
Hundreds of civilians were killed in Gaza. The husband of an American healthcare worker with Ebola says she's showing signs of improvement. 59-year-old Nancy Wrightball now being treated in Atlanta. This is ABC News.
Big data may be just another overused buzzword, but storing, sharing, protecting, and recovering big data is a big deal to companies, big or small. Barracuda Networks offers powerful, affordable, yet easy-to-implement solutions for data protection and disaster recovery, email archiving, file sharing, and e-signing, all designed to protect big data and simplify IT. For an online demo or to try any of our storage solutions risk-free for 30 days, visit barracuda.com/bigdata.
Hi, I'm Joan London, and if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. With one phone call, you'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. It's a free service, so call now.
800-379-1174. 800-379-1174.
An investigation starting today into the shooting of an American general who was killed yesterday in an apparent insider attack in Afghanistan at a military base. ABC's Martha Raddatz reports on how this latest incident could affect U.S.-Afghan relations.
The trust factor is always on edge in Afghanistan because of the spate of killings in 2012. It also hurts the trust of the Afghans because they will probably be even further vetted, that Americans will look at them with some suspicion. The Afghans will then look at the Americans with some suspicion. But I don't think ultimately it will change anything that the Americans are now doing and any plans for the drawdown.
Martha Raddatz. President Obama and dozens of African leaders holding talks today in Washington.
On behalf of Michelle and myself, welcome to the White House.
The president held a state dinner for the African leaders last night. I'm Richard Davies, ABC News.
Safe Auto's system is really smart. If you've ever had car insurance with Safe Auto before, they'll get you up and running quick and easy with the right car insurance for the right price. Welcome back. Safe Auto. Call, click, and enjoy the road ahead.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, Ford Escape is ready for whatever may come your way this summer with EcoBoost technology and foot-activated liftgate. For details, visit drive1ohio.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon, the show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll-free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and we have Mr. Anthony Kovac on with us. We're talking about preparedness, and I want to thank him for his time and taking time out to talk with us about preparedness, because he was saying that he came from a place and he went down to Florida, and when you live in certain areas, you have to be prepared. But those of us who don't live in those types of areas don't realize that, you know, we've had earthquakes here in Northeast Ohio. We've had flooding recently. Mm-hmm. Like I said, in Toledo, all the water went out. We've had times
blizzards,
where... Oh, yeah.
Tornadoes.
Our polar vortex with our global warming last year.
Yeah, we had 46 inches of frost in places.
I mean, we
people
had...
People weren't prepared for that.
We were not prepared inside of our homes for being cold. And this show is just about making you mindful that even no matter where you live, you need to have a preparedness plan somehow. Anthony, would you say, am I right, wrong? Am I crazy?
Absolutely, Tracy. And you don't have to become prepared like the disaster prepper type preparedness where you have a bunker, where you have, you know, 2 years
yes,
supply
Dave.
Of food. That's
fun of my bunker.
That's a whole different kind of preparedness. We're talking about a preparedness for the kind of disasters that throw your daily life out of schedule, you know, where you have to leave an area. If a winter storm comes in and it's 2 feet of snow that you're not used to, you know, you may not have enough clothing. You may get stuck if you're in a winter zone and you live distance from civilization.
No.
You should have heavy clothing or stuff in the car to keep you warm in case you get stuck in the middle of nowhere. These are the kind of simple things that you should be aware of your surroundings and know that, wow, you know, the last year we had a lot of big storms, and I traveled 50, 100 miles in the middle of nowhere to get to my location to work. I should have something in case I get stuck in this bitter cold.
Absolutely. That's something that... my daughter learned when she moved to Wyoming. They have public service announcements actually on the television telling you what you need to keep in your car for disasters, like a snow shovel, you know, a small shovel to dig yourself out.
Exactly. Those are the kind of things. We're not talking about disasters. Cans of food today, an 18.5 can of soup is just about $2. You know what I'm saying? It's about having the kind of resources in the house, you know, a couple of cases of soup, you know, per person, you know, will last a few days a week, depending on, you know, how much that person eats. And you should know that that stuff is always there, that you rotate and keep it fresh. Some of this stuff has
now,
a good lifespan.
What should be the deciding factor whether you shelter in place or whether you leave?
You know, it's all about the personal preference. If you're not familiar with surroundings, if you have to leave, then, you know, it's the risk. What does the local authority tell you? What the risk is? They usually assess whether or not you should evacuate. If they don't give you the full intense evacuation and you have a home, let's say, with a basement level that is below ground, that is fortified with, you know. So it all depends on how much the risk is. If you're unable to evacuate where the authorities have not really given an evacuation warning, then you have to know where you're going or whether or not your safety is okay in that location. So there's no way to know this until it actually hits, and that's where the problem is. Some of these storms, tornadoes, you could evacuate to the location. We had that situation here. They were telling us to evacuate, but they didn't know which way to tell us to go because they didn't know what the storm's direction is going to be. So it was going to be either this way or that way, and they had three or four options, and each option from certain parts of the state, there was nowhere to go. Because if it hit here and you went that way, you're going in the direction the storm is going to go anyway. So that becomes a problem.
When you talk about getting out, I mean, I'm one of those people, you know, I've lived in Los Angeles, I've lived in California, we've had fires, we've had earthquakes.
Yeah.
You know, when it's time to go, you mean if you have somewhere to go, you know, I was raised under the knowledge of an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Yes.
So if I have somewhere to go, I can go to high ground or go some. If I can pull my stuff together and go stay with some friends and family members who are further away from the fire, or, you know, go, and then come back. But don't just stay. You know, if you know that there's a hurricane coming, or if you know that there's a tornado in your view, and you're more susceptible to becoming, you know, hit. Sometimes it's just better to go and go stay with some friends for a couple of days instead of trying to wait it out.
Exactly. But more importantly, you have to have the place where you're going to stay, because once you hit the road, you become far more vulnerable of the elements. You're now in the middle of nowhere where there are no shelters. You don't know where the shelters are. You don't know where you're going. If you're traveling 100 miles, you know, if you don't have a location where you're going to go and your roadmap of what's on the way there in case you have to then abandon the location where you're going to go to, you could be in far worse shape than if you stayed, because staying, at least you're in shelter. If you're on the road and the roads are closed or due to weather flooding and stuff like that, now what? So just because you leave, if you don't leave early enough to where you can get past and get to your destination, you could be stuck in the middle of the disaster, totally vulnerable, and that's even worse.
So, that's true.
So what about emergency cash? How much emergency cash should you keep in the house to carry you through the initial problems? Because, you know, I mean,
well,
nothing's going to work. The credit cards aren't going to work and that kind of stuff. We know that from history.
That used to be true. It used to be. Today's, I mean, in the state of Florida, almost all of the major stores are putting in emergency generators, the high-end emergency generators. They're automated. They're run by the power authorities, and they plug them. So today, the power authority in my area has contracted, you know, with, you know, let's say the supermarkets, all put in emergency generators. So and they're serviced by the power authority. They go in and make sure that it's running, make sure it's oiled up, and continue to function during the power outages. So they start to do a lot of this.
They're starting to do
all that stuff now and maintaining it. A lot of the cell towers now are backup generators. you know, where they can run for several days or a week with no external power. So more and more of the communities in the country are starting to realize solar power is becoming more reliable and running things without having to use if the grid goes down. So a lot of this stuff is happening. Virtual terminals like...
What about the computer lines and things like that? Are they shielded for disaster?
The hard lines, I mean, a lot of this stuff is cellular-based as well as satellite-based. More and more of that telecommunications coming from that in that respect. But now they're more vulnerable to solar storms. So when you hear sometimes when there's a solar storm and there might be some telecommunications out, we're now more susceptible to when the sun has sun flares and it hits the Earth and it's coming towards the Earth-wise. We have actual satellites just watching the sun. So if solar storms start to come in, we know exactly when those storms are going to affect telecommunications. So from normal disasters, those telecommunication systems may not be affected in a total scale, but in a sunstorm, it may affect the whole grid because a lot of our now communications is relying all on satellite and satellite-connected activities.
Now, I got a question for you, and I don't have too much time because I've got another guest coming on, but I have a question for you when you keep on talking about solar.
Go ahead.
I live in Northeast Ohio, and the sun is not my friend here. I don't know what the heck. I mean, I don't know what we did.
We live close to one of the largest arsenals in the country, and it was put there because of the cloud cover, so the satellites couldn't see it.
They've talked about having blood moons and the eclipses lately. We wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning to go out to look at the moon, and you can't see the moon for the clouds. And so, everybody's talking about solar and wind. We don't blow here. And, today is August the 5th, and the sun won't shine.
And it was 60 degrees.
Yes, I've been in the Cleveland, Ohio area in the dead summer, and I thought I was in the dead winter.
That's what we're saying. What solar? Do you have to have sun for solar?
That is not entirely true. You don't actually have to have direct sun for solar. It is far more effective if you do. But today's solar collectors still continue to receive solar energy, even if the sun is not directly, but it's far, far less efficient. I mean, the efficiency rating is somewhere in the low numbers.
Because the last thing I would want to do is have to go out and, like, get on my bicycle and start riding it for energy because the sun won't shine.
Exactly, but
and
if you have like
your emergency radio,
emergency radio hand crankers, those are great. You need to have anything that
have
you
those.
Can find, anything you can find that's related to, that you can actually create energy, like the battery backups for your computer serve very well for charging your tablet computers because they draw really low. The little tablet computers like an iPad or a Droid or a Samsung or a cell phone, those things draw a little power. So those computer backup systems are really valuable in maintaining your household power for those kind of technologies because those technologies don't draw – they're designed for computers. The computers draw a lot more power than an iPad does. And an iPad can run far more longer – on a little bit of juice than a computer can when they're plugged into those things. So if a computer is designed to run for 20 minutes, your iPad will run for several days with it.
I have an inverter in my home.
Oh, yes,
emergencies.
You have an inverter. That's great.
And it's connected to a battery.
Excellent. Any of those kind of things, all those pieces, today's generators. If you look on my emergencyprepping.org site, there's lots of little emergency prepping ideas and products from solar powered generators to refrigerators that run on solar. I mean, it all depends on obviously where in the country you are, whether or not these things are as effective as they can be, because the entire country is different. Your part of the world gets tornadoes, floodings, and other stuff. If you live in that river, if you live in low ground and you're by a river that's almost about to crest, guess what? You should know that. Like, well, I live in low ground. I better get out of here. Don't wait until they tell you
to get out.
Go ahead.
Anthony, thank you so much for coming on with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. Anytime.
Give us your website again and tell us your book.
Emergencyprepping.org. The book is Emergency Prepping, Simple Disaster Preparedness for the Modern Family, meaning us, people that live in apartments, people live in second, third floor. You have to have a simple amount of resources to carry you for the first few days to a week or so in case your whole area has been affected.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Have a good day. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Hey, how you doing, Larry?
How you doing, Tracy?
I'm doing good. I've been playing phone tag with you for about a week.
Yeah. You never return my call.
Bite your tongue, Larry.
She doesn't return mine either, Larry. The only time she returns mine is when she wants me to do something.
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh, you guys are mean. And you guys tell stories.
That was Tracy smacking sticks on air.
You need to become, you know what? That's it. That's what I'm saying. Y'all need to quit telling stories. I call you guys.
No, caller that you had, that was a good caller. A lot of good information. But the reason I had called in was on the solar side, even on a cloudy day like this, you're still going to get some solar energy out of it.
Yeah, right.
The biggest problem, you will. The biggest problem is storing it or getting it to where it needs to be when it needs to be used. That's the biggest problem. But Stick Nose, there's some guys out there, they're all ready for it. Matter of fact, if everything goes down, they're good.
Yes, Sticks is ready for it. Why are you playing?
Yeah, there's been some really good articles in Backwoods Home Magazine about completely going off the grid and preparedness. But, yeah, I mean, short of a direct hit from a tornado, our place is pretty well impervious.
Listen. All I got to do is get to Sticks' house. If I can get to Salem, I'm business.
You can get to Salem and get past the dogs.
I can get past the dogs.
Call ahead.
No, just tell them I love them.
We ain't letting just anybody in.
Don't worry about it. I got a day pass to Salem. Don't get it twisted.
Well, I'm not talking about Salem. They'll let anybody in. I'm talking about once you get past
the
gates.
No, I can get
past
there.
The gates.
I'm there.
Tracy,
you don't
what
understand.
You said you had a day pass?
Yeah.
We know better than that, don't we, Larry? We know that she's got a permanent pass down in Salem. She's got big friends down there.
I got a day pass
between the Johnson, between the Johnson and the Sebo, she owns half of Salem.
Yeah, we know that.
You guys are wrong.
When I get pulled over in Salem, I drop Tracy's name and they let me off.
Oh, don't do that! Don't do that! don't believe all that, y'all. Don't do it.
I just say I'm friends with Tracy Winbush and they just turn me loose. Have a nice day, sir.
You know what?
I know for an absolute fact that Brother Johnson is probably on listening to you right now, Tracy.
Hey, that is my counterpart on the Central Committee.
Yeah.
When I grew up, I'm trying to be like Dave Johnson. Everybody knows that. I tell people that.
So who do you want to be more, Dave Johnson or Doug?
Can I have both?
Well, you want to be Doug Johnson.
Pretty much. Pretty much. Yeah, that would be good. That would be good.
Doug Johnson with a side order of Mary Ann.
Absolutely.
Mary Ann is a sweet lady.
Absolutely.
She's one of the sweetest people I've ever met.
Oh,
she's
wait.
Always got a good word to say. Always got a smile.
Wait until I tell him this. You know you guys are going to get me in major trouble, right?
Why?
Because you're saying nice things about these people next door. And we're not saying nice people about things about the other nice people, and you guys are going to get me in a lot of trouble. Jeff, what do you have to say?
Larry,
you better be nice to me, Jeffrey.
I was at a fundraiser just last week. Larry, you know you told me how to get there, right?
Right.
Okay, well, I got there and Tracy was there. Ask me, did she say anything to me during the 2 hours that I was at the
Did she snub you?
Tracy didn't know who I was.
Yeah. Oh, I can believe that, Jeff. I've been on the receiving end of that.
That was remarkable.
Jeff,
what do you have to say, young lady?
Jeff, you better be nice to me. You better be awfully nice to me.
Yeah, you really.
You'd better be really, really nice to me.
I am privy to a secret, Jeff.
You don't know nothing about.
Really, really nice to Tracy for the next few days.
Okay.
You better be really nice to
her. Yeah, you need to suck up.
Okay.
I mean, you might even want to, like, invite her to your concert this weekend.
Yeah.
I told her I got a mic for her.
Oh, no, Jeff. Oh, no. You're going to have to do more next time. You have to take back what you said. The reason, then tell them why I did not speak to you.
I ain't saying nothing. I'm holding that one up for ransom.
Hey, Larry, did you know the Browns training camp is in session?
I had heard.
Have you heard?
I had heard. But I tell you what, though, Jeff, you got to give Tracy her due. There's a woman.
Hey.
She's a woman that come. She didn't graduate from Harvard or Yale or anything like that, but she has elbowed her way in to where she got a seat not at the table. She's at the head table.
Don't
with
start.
All the big guys. Oh, yeah, Tracy,
I was at that.
We saw you. She was
Yeah, I forgot about that. She set us up. She says, you guys are going to be sitting at my table. We show up, Larry. You're on one side of the room. I'm on the other side of the room, and she's at the head table. How'd that happen?
Hey, Dick, I had to get binoculars to see her. I had to get my binoculars.
No,
I was
wrong.
Yeah, me
up
too.
There somewhere.
One thing for sure, Tracy has become a historical figure in Ohio, not just this area, and I appreciate it because she's historical. Don't get me wrong.
You guys
don't
are wrong.
Don't get me wrong. It's going to be both of them.
Jeff. You better be nice to me. You better be nice.
Okay.
She
just dropped you a large hint.
You better be real nice.
I know she did. I know Santa Claus knows when you've been naughty or nice. So that'll be another title and a hat we put on our Christmas.
You better be nice. Yeah, Larry.
You know, be quiet. You know, we cool.
Don't try to clear it now.
Me and Larry got your back, even if you don't speak to us at fundraising.
Let me ask you guys this. Why would I go over and start talking to y'all? Listen, why would I go over and start talking to y'all when I talk to you guys 15 hours a week? Are you crazy?
But anyway, I'll take it back because that wasn't exactly true. She did ask me to go get her some food or something to bring it to her.
You guys are so wrong.
Tracy is a plane driver. Y'all don't know.
You don't know. Listen, work hard, play hard, live well. So listen, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. When I come back, I've got Rabbi Shapiro coming on with us. We're going to talk about some real deep stuff now because we've laughed enough at the expense of Tracy. So now I'm going to go and call Jeff on the phone and see if Jeff is going to treat me better in the second half than he did in the first half. I'll be right back.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland. At Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print. Signed by the artist and numbered, you'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mart Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
I'm Willie Flores with your headline news.
A former Air Force officer in the county Republican Party's choice to fill the unexpired term left by the late Trumbull County Commissioner Paul Hetzel. The party made the decision in a meeting Tuesday night. J.D. Williams of Liberty will run on the Republican ticket this November. The judge presiding over the corruption case against two Valley politicians and attorney Martin Yavorsik is denying a bid by Yavorsik to serve as co-counsel in his own defense. A Poland businessman is going to prison for ordering two former employees to discharge brine and oil field waste into a Youngstown storm sewer. Federal judge sentenced Ben Lupo to 28 months in prison and fined him $25,000 for violating the Federal Clean Water Act by ordering two former employees of his Hard Rock Excavating Company to dump oil and gas well waste into a storm sewer on Salt Spring Roads in Youngstown. For WSOM News, I'm Julio Flores.
Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
Roholt Vision Institute.
Get to know Roholt Vision Institute, the premier LASIK and cataract center in Ohio, with offices in Canton, Canfield, and Alliance. Meet Amy, laser vision coordinator at Roholt Vision. Amy, how long have you worked at Roholt Vision?
I'm proud to say over 10 years.
So is it true that if you have astigmatism, you're not a candidate for LASIK?
No, not at all. Astigmatism can be corrected.
So what if you're not a LASIK candidate?
There are many procedures available by our doctors that help patients achieve the same great vision as LASIK.
And how does a patient find out if they are a candidate?
We encourage patients to schedule a complimentary consultation to see what type of procedure is best for them.
Find out more about Roholt Vision Institute. Call 1-800-481-LASER or visit RoholtVision.com.
Declare your apartment or rental house a bummer-free zone with renter's insurance from Grange. It protects the contents of your home from such major hassles as theft, weather, and plumbing mishaps for just pennies a day.
Let Crab Insurance Agency, your Grange independent agent, show you how a Grange rental policy is an even better bargain when paired with Grange auto coverage.
Call Crab Insurance Agency at 330-332-1586.
Products not available in all states.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I want to thank Sticks and Larry and Jeff for giving me a hard time this morning. You know, that is not a good way to win friends.
Laughing.
That's not a good way to win friends and influence people.
Oh,
you guys
you
are
enjoyed
just
it.
So bad.
You enjoyed it.
Just because I laughed, it's not meant I could have been laughing through my tears.
Your guitar gently weeping.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I have Rabbi Spiro with me, and he is going to talk to us about what's going on over in Israel and how the media actually covers the Middle East and what's going on in the Gaza Strip. Rabbi, how are you this morning?
Very good, Tracy.
Thank you for agreeing to come on with me. You are the author of Reclaiming Our American Judeo-Christian Ethos.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about you, a little bit about you know, the author of Pushing Back?
Well, the author of Pushing Back, Reclaiming Our American Judeo-Christian Ethos. I'm originally from Ohio. I was born there, raised there. My father and grandfather, great-grandfather, lived in Ohio in the Cleveland area. And I wrote Pushing Back because I see the United States of America being taken away from the people by a certain ruling clique that is trying to take from us the ethos, the outlook that guided us since our founding, which is this Judeo-Christian ethos. And the people are going to have to push back if they're going to try to save this heritage, this way of life. It's up to the people to do it. And in the book, I tell them how to do it, but why it's important to do it, what the Judeo-Christian ethos is all about. It's more than just, simply going to church or synagogue, and it's more than the issue of marriage and abortion. It has to do with the whole outlook of personal responsibility, accountability, free markets, knowing the difference between right and wrong, fighting evil. It's what made us great.
So you're talking about growing up and being accountable.
Growing up what?
Growing up and being accountable.
Absolutely. I mean, a person has to be accountable. You don't want to fall into this, which liberalism allows you to fall into this idea that everything is somebody else's fault. It's always society's fault, and society has to always make up to you, and you're somehow relieved from pulling yourself up from your own bootstraps and making something of yourself. That's not good. That's liberalism. Appeals to people that way, and they get a lot of votes that way, but that's not good for the person or society.
Let me ask you this. How did we get here? Because what they're teaching now, what's going on now, is not how I was raised, and I'm not that old. And I don't know how we got here.
Well, we got here for two reasons. Number one, I have to tell you that liberalism, which is basically the theme of the whole Democrat Party, found that they could win entire groups of votes this way, basically saying, listen, your condition is not your fault. It's the fault of the population, and the population has got to make it up to you by providing you all these different programs, and we don't expect anything from you. Well, they got a lot of votes from people that way because, you know, the nature of people sometimes is to be lazy. And so they appealed to the laziness of people. They also got votes because they appealed to the envy in people and said, listen, that fellow that's successful, he got there because he oppressed you. He got there because he trampled on your back. And so they appealed to the worst, the demons in people, envy. And they got votes that way. It works. It works very good. Listen, President Obama is basically stays in power now by using the demonization of successful people or business and saying that people are entitled to be taken care of. So it works, and that's how we got there.
Can we get back? You said push back, but can we get back?
Oh, this is, hey, this is the most important question. Yes, we can. We have not turned the corner where we can no longer get back. We can, because this is a country that really is rooted in the idea of accountability and personal responsibility and the great journey that the individual has in making something of himself. It's a country that was founded on the idea of you're an individual, you're not just a member of a group. I happen to be Jewish, but I don't want everything that I do somehow to be tied to being a member of the Jewish people. I've got my own course to chart in life, and if you're a black person, Hispanic person, whatever person you are, you shouldn't be tied always to a group. You should look at yourself as an individual and say, listen, I have places to go, I got things to do, and I'm not going to be tied to a group, because then you're tied to that group's representative. So I think that these concepts, they're deep in American society, and they can come back. We just need the proper leadership. We need a leader, and we need someone who knows how to talk and use the vocabulary and speak to people's hearts and about these values, and I think we can come back.
Because my concern is, I mean, I look at this, and I'm looking at our young people today, and no matter where they're coming out of, whether they came from a Jewish family, a Christian family, their goals, their work ethic, their stamina, it is unbelievable how far they've come and what they're willing to tolerate. And when you talk about liberalism, even with the Jewish community, I'm so confused how the Jewish community could be so liberal in their voting, yet when they look at how our country and the liberals treat Israel, they back them so heavily.
Now, that's a very good question. I'm glad you brought it up. It's very painful to me. I'm in my mid-60s. I'm a leader. I'm a rabbi in the Jewish community. And I see how the Jewish community constantly votes for candidates that are really harmful to Israel. President Obama is harmful. So, you know, I think about it. There are many reasons, but the first reason is over half of the Jewish people, certainly over half of them, are secular. They're no longer religious as religious Jews. They don't observe. The Bible doesn't mean really much to them at all. And so they don't vote anymore regarding what's good for Israel or what's good for a wholesome family life. They're not religious. They're secular, and they vote like secular people. And because they're not religious, and we all, though, need something transcendent in our life, so instead of that being God or the Bible or the religion or the destiny of the Jewish people, well, their new transcendent ideal is liberalism. It's very convenient. It makes you feel good about yourself. So they're all suckers for liberalism. I have to tell you, when you go to them and you say, now look at this President Obama. Look how bad he is to Israel. He basically sides up with Hamas. And they will tell you it's more important to them personally to be involved with America's first black president than the survival of Israel. They,
really?
Most of them being people of the 60s, they personally identify with the victory that they think, the victory for black civil rights and having Barack Obama as president, to that, them is much more important than the survival of Israel. They're not religious anymore.
Now, Rabbi Spear, let me say this. I don't know if you know. I'm an African-American.
Yes.
And I was very, very surprised. I was very, very pleased in some aspects to see that a black man could make it to the White House. I was very impressed.
Yes.
But in my mind and in my heart, I said he was the wrong black man. I didn't think
Absolutely.
He was going to be good for our country. I didn't think he was going to be good for where we're headed. I didn't think he was – I didn't like what he stood for. And so I supported John McCain. And John McCain is more liberal than I would like for him to be. He's more moderate than I because I'm a conservative. But I can't comprehend, and I am a Christian, and so my heart goes out to Israel because I believe what my Bible says, that he blesses those who bless Israel. And I believe American success has been because we've always been an ally of Israel. That's my belief.
I share your belief. America's success has also been because we've worshipped God. We believe in the God of the Old and New Testament, and that's been our success. And many are turning away. There's a lot of paganism in the country, a lot of secularism. Islam is coming in, and believe me, Islam is really far, far away from the Judeo-Christian outlook. As far as Obama, no, I don't think he's the right black man. I think Obama is a very flawed person. I think that more than identifying as a black man, I think deep, deep inside him is a tremendous empathy identity with things Islamic. He was raised in Madrasa in Indonesia. His family is Islamic. And he's said things throughout his presidency that shows me that he's choosing the goals of Islam over what the goals of America should be. As far as his blackness,
He's not black. So why won't America?
Yeah, I wanted to mention that. You know, I'm from Cleveland. I grew up with black people because we lived in a very integrated neighborhood. Obama does not represent at all to me the black culture that I grew up with. I grew up with ladies on Sunday. We all call them the church ladies, and they had their beautiful little bonnets on Sundays, their hats in there, and their nice cotton floral pattern, dresses.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be in church, and it was wonderful, and the songs, they loved the country. Obama does not come from that type of American black community. You can't fool me, because I'm not some guy who lives in some white lily suburb, and this is not an American, authentic American type of black culture that he represents. I think he's actually quite aloof from all of it. He's a radical guy. He's very radical. He's not a liberal. He's more of a Marxist than he is as a liberal.
Why don't we see that? I mean, his style, what he says. I mean, he hasn't landed the plane in a black community since he became president. And there was so much hope for. I mean, I had Republicans who were supporting this guy because he thought that he was going to bring about change.
And I never thought that for a second. He doesn't.
I didn't either.
Tracy, he doesn't have the type of personality. He doesn't have the type of personality that brings people together. He doesn't conduct himself as like someone who's thoroughly American. There are many things that happen. For example, many Americans have been killed through terrorism here in this country. If it was Fort Hood, the fella yelled Allah Akbar as he killed the people at Fort Hood. There are many things that have happened in America, and you don't see from him the sympathy towards the American people. He's doing things now also with the border. He's bringing in hordes of people, and who knows what type of diseases they have, and they're jihadists, and he doesn't care. The American people are crying out and saying, now listen, there's danger here. He doesn't care. I don't know where he comes from, but there's something so distanced between himself and love of America and the American people, and but it didn't make a difference to most Americans. They wanted to be part of this history. But I think, Tracy, it's very frivolous because you're supposed to elect a president because he'll protect your country. He'll make sure that the economy is good. He loves the country. And they didn't care about that. They just wanted to be part of history. Well, but they voted for the wrong historical figure.
You have a website, and it's called pushbackamerica.com.
Yeah, I have two. One is caucusforamerica.com, and there I have archived all of my articles that I've written over the years from Wall Street Journal, Washington Times. I've had that. And then I have, regarding the book, pushbackamerica.com, because really this is a battle for us. We've got to push back. This is a heritage. This is a way of life. America was an outlook, a great outlook, and it's worthwhile to fight for. It's up to us to fight for it because it is worthwhile.
It is, isn't it? I'm quite sure you have been to Israel.
I've been to Israel. I was there last October, November. Yes, here's a country that was born in 1948. So theoretically, it's called a third world country. It should be, but it's not. It's because people work, they sacrifice, they believe in themselves, and that's what it takes. And they basically have a good leadership. I don't agree with every policy, but the leadership is basically there to do what's good for the people, as opposed to the leadership of this Hamas or PA, Palestinian Authority, where they're basically just skimming off billions for themselves. They don't care about their people.
When you look at what's going on over in the Gaza Strip, and you look how it's covered, I mean, because I am very, very disappointed in our media coverage, because you never hear about the reason why they're fighting, or the conflict, the reason why the ceasefire can't stay. They keep on saying Hamas will call for a ceasefire. And before they can get it out, they start battling all over again. No one hears about the tunnels and how dangerous it is. They don't hear about the missiles that have been going over into Gaza and over into Israel for a very long time before Israel actually fought back. That's not something that they talk about in the mainstream media. You want to talk
right,
a little bit about how the media is covering this?
And they're not talking about the charter of Hamas, which says they're going to their number one and only goal is to destroy Israel and, in fact, all the Jewish people, to kill all the Jewish people throughout the world. And all I say is that if in 1939 someone was to tell the Jewish people before 6 million were murdered, Jewish people, if you stand up and fight and you battle, and maybe 2,000 Germans or 3,000 Germans will be killed, you'll be able to save 6 million Jews. The Jews had a moral obligation to have done that. They couldn't fight because they had no army. They had no country. They were in Germany. They were in Lithuania and Poland. Well, now you've got Hamas that says that they want to kill every man, woman, and child in Israel, which is 6 million Jews. But this time they have a chance. They have a chance to fight back. And when you fight and you go to war, people from the other side, if it's Germans, Nazis, if it's Muslim, Arabs, whatever, your enemy, they're going to be killed. But it's their moral obligation to do that. They have to save themselves. They have to save their children. The media, of course, is not in Israel's corner. There's three reasons. Number one, the media is left-wing. They're not in America's corner. Every time America goes to war, the media is always critical. They haven't been critical lately because we're not really in too many wars. So they're going to be critical of Israel because the media is left-wing. They hate America. They hate Israel. Whoever hates Israel hates America. Whoever hates America hates Israel. And those who are good Christians and they love America, they love Israel. So the media hates Israel because it's left-wing. Number two, they're afraid of Muslims, of the backlash from Islam. Anytime anybody stands up to Islam, they get their throat slit. And if they're a film director like Theo Van Gogh, they get killed on the street, and newspapers and offices get bombed, so they're afraid. And then, unfortunately, there's a lot of this anti-Semitism. There's a lot of Jew hatred, and there's certainly a lot of jealousy against Israel because it's worked hard to be successful.
Rabbi, someone's posting in my chat room, and I want to ask you about this. They're saying that Israel is killing thousands of innocents over in the Gaza Strip, and that's what's being reported. You know, they've only killed, I think, something like 50-plus Israelis, but they're killing thousands of Palestinians, and a lot of them women and children. You want to speak to that?
Well, sure. That's the whole strategy of Hamas. What Hamas is doing is it's putting its women and children at the very location from where they are launching the missiles against Israel. So now these missiles are being launched against Israel, and they're hurting Jewish people. They might not be killing them, but, hey, you lose an arm and a leg, that's bad too, isn't it?
I think so.
You can't live a life because you have missiles coming. Even though you don't die, that's bad. So Israel has to defend its people. And what happens is they aim their retaliation back at the place where the missile launcher is, and that's exactly where the Hamas puts their people, their men, women, and children. They don't give a darn about their men, women, and children. And basically they say, well, you see, you can't retaliate. So Israel isn't allowed to defend itself if that's if you're going to go by those type of rules, Israel won't be able to defend itself, and then more and more Jewish people, Israelis, are going to be killed by those rockets. Now, it happens to be that a lot of these casualties that are called civilian or not, all these statistics are coming from the Hamas office. A lot of these, number one, are actually terrorists themselves. They're not civilians. Number two, some of them are being killed by the Hamas rockets, rockets that are launched from Gaza, and they don't go far enough to reach Israel, and they fall short, and they kill their own people. So a lot of these statistics are false. They're not civilians. They're terrorists, and some of them are killed by the Gazans. But I will tell you something. If we allow this new Islamic strategy, which is basically I can kill you, but you can't defend yourself because I'm going to put a child next to me, then Islam has the recipe, the formula to take over the whole world, which they would like to do. They will shoot at people, different countries, different people, saddle a child next to them and say, I dare you, you can't shoot back, you can't defend yourself because I've got a baby in front of me, and they can take over region after region after region. But just one more thing I would want to say. 1.5 million Christians, over 1.5 million have been killed by Islam over the last 5-6 years in Africa. Look what they're doing to black Africans. Look what they're doing in Iraq. And you never heard a peep out of the media. So if they cared so much about innocent civilians, why don't they care about the Christians? Why don't they care about all the Christians being killed by Islam?
They don't. The media is very, very disingenuous in what they tell, what they talk about, and who they cover. And because of that, it keeps the American people very, very ignorant.
Rabbi, this is one of the co-hosts.
Hi.
I seem to recall a quote I had heard from one of the leaders. I'm not sure if it was Hamas or one of the other groups that said, "We will win because we love death more than Israel loves life." Have you heard that statement?
Yeah, they're very proud of that. When they say they love death, they love sending their children to death, the suicide bombers. It's very interesting, though, you know, all these Islamic leaders that say that they love death and therefore their children are suicide bombers, they themselves are not willing to be the suicide bomber. They themselves, the leaders protect themselves, and they're in these very nice hotels or they're in protection. You know, you've got all these tunnels that Hamas build that go underneath into Israel, and they were going to come up into where Israeli kindergartens are and kill Jewish kids, Israeli kids. They could put their people inside the tunnels during this war and protect them, but they don't, because they don't care about their people. Hamas should fight like a man. They should take their missiles and separate it from where the civilian population is, and that way their population would be spared. They don't care about their people. They don't care. They don't care. And it's a propaganda tool for them. And
isn't this the same thing that happened during the Vietnam War? Because they used children during the Vietnam War, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, they would give children.
Yes, they do. You know, it's good to care about other people, but it's also very important to care about yourself. You can't care about other people so much that you're going to allow them to kill you. And as nobody wants to hurt the civilians on the other side, if we're just going to lay down our arms and let everybody else lob missiles and torpedoes at us because we don't want to hurt their people, we'll end up being killed. And morality says that you first have to protect the people that you are responsible for, which are the people of your family, your children, your country. That's your first moral obligation, is to protect yours. And there's a thing called self-defense. What are we going to throw away the whole concept of self-defense and say, well, I guess I can't defend myself because in defending myself, I'm going to kill someone else. I can't defend myself. That's what self-defense is all about. It means that, yes, you can kill someone if that person is coming to kill you or your family.
Rabbi, I've got a caller on the line. Go ahead, Eric. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, Rabbi. Good to speak with you.
Yes.
I just wanted to say that I agree with you, but how do you get that message out there? I mean, how do you fight this media that isn't telling people the truth about what Hamas is doing?
Well, it's hard to fight the media because, after all, if these people want to retain their jobs, they have to do what their bosses in the media tell them. And I don't know how much we're going to change the media, except to also point out the hypocrisy. I always like to do that. If you care about children, why don't you care about the Christian children? Do you know what they're – I would tell people in CNN, you hypocrites, you callous, callous hypocrites, you stand by – while Islam has killed 100,000 in Nigeria, 100,000 black Christians in Sudan, and you didn't care, you hypocrites, you callous people, you immoral people. I would stick it to them. They don't care about children. They don't care about morality. They want to be able, they have an agenda. They hate Israel. They hate America. They're left-wing. Some of them are just downright anti-Semites and Jew haters. But I would tell them that you're a bunch of hypocrites and you're phonies. And where have you been while the Christians have been slaughtered? Where's President, I want to ask you something. Where's President Obama been?
He's on
all
vacation.
These Christians.
You
know, Tracy, that Mosul in Iraq, this ISIS came in and what they did to 35,000 Christians, they slaughtered them and they raped the women, they burned
oh
the
God.
Men, they watched the father, they forced fathers and husbands to watch their daughters and their mothers being raped. Where's President Obama to criticize this?
He hasn't said a word.
That makes me believe that he's very indifferent. He's very indifferent to Christian suffering. Boy, the minute there's anybody says something about Islam, he is there to defend Islam. But he seems very indifferent, very callous to the Christian suffering in the world.
Rabbi, can I get you for another 15 minutes? I need to take my top of the hour break, but I'd love to come back and talk to you a little bit longer. Do you have a little bit more time?
A little bit more time, yes.
Okay, let me take my top of the hour break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Because of an experimental drug. Her colleague, Dr. Kent Brantley, also received the drug. The biotech firm behind it says they use tobacco plants to produce a cocktail of proteins they believe fights the disease.
Ebola was mentioned today by President Obama. He's hosting a big meeting on Africa, much of it about expanding trade and business opportunities.
Why is President Obama devoting such energy to a summit for the entire continent of Africa? Because of how fast it's growing.
I believe a new Africa is emerging, with some of the world's fastest-growing economies, a growing middle class, and the youngest and fastest-growing population on Earth.
He also expressed his sympathies to the Ebola victims and their families in West Africa. Ann Compton, ABC News.
Security experts say a gang of Russian cyber criminals has stolen more than a billion user passwords and names from a number of websites. Becky Hammond has become the first full-time female assistant coach in the NBA, hired by the San Antonio Spurs.
It's never been about the woman thing. It's been about, hey, she's got a great basketball mind, and we'd love to have her. I'm ready to be treated just as any other assistant coach.
She was with the WNBA. This is ABC News.
Big data may be just another overused buzzword, but storing, sharing, protecting, and recovering big data is a big deal to companies, big or small. Barracuda Networks offers powerful, affordable, yet easy-to-implement solutions for data protection and disaster recovery, email archiving, file sharing, and e-signing, all designed to protect big data and simplify IT. For an online demo or to try any of our storage solutions risk-free for 30 days, visit barracuda.com/bigdata.
Hi, I'm Joan London, and if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. With one phone call, you'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. It's a free service, so call now.
800-379-1174. 800-379-1174.
One of the tour bus drivers involved in yesterday's collision in New York City's Times Square is now under arrest. Here's ABC's Scott Goldberg.
The 58-year-old man driving one of the two double-decker sightseeing buses that collided in Times Square was arrested on suspicion of operating the bus while he was impaired by drugs. Both bus drivers had passed breathalyzer tests at the scene. The bus the suspect was driving came up over a curb next to a popular ticket booth for Broadway shows and knocked over a giant traffic light. 14 of the 15 people injured were pedestrians. None of the injuries was considered serious.
Scott Goldberg. A rural Northern California town that was under threat from a wildfire is in the clear now. Fire officials have lifted an evacuation advisory for the Shasta County town of Burney. Walgreens' controversial plans to move overseas have been scrapped. The company says it plans to stay in the U.S. and will no longer plan for a foreign reorganization. Richard Davies, ABC News.
Do you find yourself constantly tired? Or do you feel like your immune system is weak? Consider Super Immune Forte C1000 with bioflavonoids and Super D3. These drugless prescriptions can be a perfect antidote to help you overcome these problems. Contact Mason Wellness Center at 330-219-6250 or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I want to thank Rabbi Shapiro. Rabbi, I'm going to ask you to pronounce your own first name so that I do not mess with it too bad.
Yeah, the first name is Aryeh. Aryeh is a Hebrew name. It's straight out of the Bible. It means lion.
Aryeh. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I would have messed it up really bad because I would not have gotten Aryeh out of that.
I can say Tracy.
That's because it's easy.
It's easy.
You can follow Rabbi Shapiro on Twitter. So if you want to go in and type in Rabbi Shapiro, S-P-E-R-O, you can find him there. You can check out his book, 12 Pushing Back, Reclaiming American Judeo-Christian Spirit Ethos. You can find him everywhere. Books are sold. Rabbi, and I've got some callers coming in. Eric, your mic is on. Rabbi, when you look at the parallel between the African-American community and the rabbi community, I'm sorry, the Jewish community, and then look at their voting patterns and look at their conditions and their history, they mirror a lot. Why is it that African-Americans and the Jewish community has not bonded together and said, we can do great things united?
Well, I have to tell you, some of the leadership in the black community, although I don't consider it authentic leadership, but Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, the media has conferred upon them like king status. They're the kings of the black community. And these guys,
the gatekeepers,
these guys, I have to tell you, Tracy, because I know them both, they have enriched themselves. So they are so wealthy. They have enriched themselves off of the plight of the black community. And these are not leaders that are trying to bring their people up. These are men that are constantly thriving and profiting by agitation and by making their people feel that they have entitled to grievances and victimization. And there used to be better leadership in the black community, but the media anointed Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and not the Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson and not others maybe such as yourself. And I think those two gentlemen have been a tremendous detriment.
I agree wholeheartedly, and I'm praying that people will wake up, because they have been a disservice to the community. The NAACP, the Urban League, the Jesse Jacksons, the Al Sharptons, even the Roland Martins, they have been a detriment to Black America, and they are not fighting they're not fighting for equality. They're fighting for their own personal
their
agenda.
Own power. Look at the NAACP. They basically sold out to the Democrat Party. They're just an arm of the Democrat Party. They're going to do whatever the Democrat Party wants them to do, and because it empowers the leaders, it's sad. It's exhausting. People put faith in their leaders, and then they sell their people out. And they're just an arm, the NAACP, of the Democrat Party. And it's too bad. Listen, when I grew up, I'm in my mid-60s. I grew up in Cleveland. But my whole life, I live on the East Coast now, but my whole life was Cleveland, Youngstown, Akron, Canton. And Black family was actually much stronger then. Can you imagine? Much, much stronger.
Yes, sir.
A church attendance. And I got to tell you, I travel the country a lot. And so, I see people, and if they have Christianity, oh, the difference in them is enormous. You see these young people, and you meet them, let's say Black young people, and if they have Christianity, oh, the light that comes from their eyes, the sweetness, and how well-groomed they are, and how they speak, and how well-mannered, and they're getting ahead, and they believe in being productive. But then you have the other segment that are not necessarily Christian. Their religion is the religion given to them by Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, the religion of grievance and entitlement and anger. And it's just too bad. It's really, I've seen it.
Do you come back this way often?
In Ohio?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a mother. And
good.
Lord keep her. She's up there. She's really up there in years, and I come back to visit her from time to time.
Well, we're going to get you here. We're going to work that out, and we're going to get you here to come and do a lecture series for us.
Well,
and to
that's
talk
great.
To us about coming back to center, pushing back and coming back to center.
You
I
know,
think
people
it's very,
have
very
to
important.
Realize, oh, I'm sorry, Tracy, go on.
Go ahead.
This religion is nothing to do with being holy roller. Religion gives you a wholesome life. It gives you a life of hope. It gives you a life of good values. That's when God gave us religion. People have it wrong. They think, oh, I don't want to be a holy roller. I don't want to do all those rituals. In the Judeo-Christian Old and New Testament, what it does is it gives you just such a beautiful blueprint for a wholesome life, family life, values, confidence in yourself, hope in yourself. Now, no one's life is perfect, but it's such an asset to have in life when you have the Judeo-Christian outlook as your friend and partner.
Well, I have to say this. I've enjoyed talking to you today, and I appreciate you. And I agree with you mostly because I say this. The faith that we have gives us a consciousness, a God consciousness, the Judeo-Christian foundation. There was a consciousness of right and wrong. And because we've gone into an amoral society, it has caused us to become very, very covetous, very, very greedy, and very, very selfish.
Yes.
And that's not what America stands for. Absolutely. Absolutely. And,
you know, the Ten Commandments, Tracy, ends with, thou shalt not envy and be jealous of your neighbor's house and the wife and his possessions. And envy destroys individuals. It destroys a society.
Yes, sir, it does. Very much so. Very, very much so. And when I say this about the Christian church, the problem with it is that as the preacher has become the person who is the leader who has also sowed the congregation out by not telling them the truth.
Right.
And we, and especially in the Black community, we have not told our congregations the truth because of a tax code, because of personal ambition, because of greed, because of a lot of things. And until we repent and go back to telling the truth of what God has intended. That the Bible says if a man does not work, he should not eat. Which
right.
means even if you don't have a job, you need to go to work.
Absolutely. That's how God made this whole world. He made
Absolutely.
The world so that people have to work because he knows how good work is. Because like King Solomon said, if you're idle, idle hands, they bring a destructive life. Work teaches you how to deal with people, how to be responsible, how to have manners. It gives you a purpose. Work is what elevates a person. People look at work as somehow something that they shouldn't have to do. They're entitled to be taken care of. On the contrary, work is a blessing.
Absolutely. And I appreciate what you've done and you being with us. I appreciate your books, and we plan on doing our best to see if we can get you in here before the year is out.
Well, thank you, Tracy, and good luck with your work. This is it. You know, this is the fight to the finish, Tracy. We can't lose this fight, because if we do, we'll lose our country. We're going to lose tens of millions of people, tens of millions of potential in people.
And you know, Rabbi, I was listening to someone the other day, and they were saying that how blessed we are to be Americans.
Yes.
We don't realize that we only make up like 4.5% of the global population, and how well we live. Even our poor live well. I don't think we understand just how great we have it here.
Our poor have air conditioning basically in the summer. They have heat in the winter. They have food. They have clothes. They have cars. They've got television. They've got telephones. What are you talking about? Our poor are living better than the kings did 100 years ago.
Absolutely. But we don't recognize it. We don't recognize what we have, and we're not taking care of it. And that which you don't – and my mom – there was a cliche that I was raised with, and it says you don't miss your water till your well runs dry.
That's right. Well, listen, it goes back to the Bible. Look, you had the children of Israel in the desert, and God was giving them blessings and manna, and they were complaining. This is part of the human condition. We have to work on ourselves to make sure that we don't get into this rut of complaining and feel sorry for ourselves and an envy. It's part of that's all part of the Judeo-Christian mission, to feel gratitude.
So somehow we're going to make it happen. And I appreciate you again. Thank you for coming on with us. I look forward to reading your book. It's called Pushback. You can find it anywhere books are sold. It's a very easy read, so please pick it up. You can get it on Kindle, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, bookstores. It's everywhere. And thank you again, Rabbi.
Thank you, Tracy.
Have a good day.
Hey,
you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM. For the rest of the show, we're going to do an open mic and let you guys beat us up and beat me up a little bit more. We'll see you on the other side.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling. Because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our Crisis Stabilization Unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
I'm Willie Flores with your headline news. A former Air Force officer is the county's Republican Party's choice to fill the unexpired term left by the late Trumbull County Commissioner Paul Hetzel. Party made the decision at a meeting Tuesday night. J.D. Williams of Liberty will run on the Republican ticket this November. The judge presiding over the corruption case against two Valley politicians and attorney Martin Yavorsik is denying a bid by Yavorsik to serve as co-counsel in his own defense. A Poland businessman is going to prison for ordering two former employees to discharge brine and oil field waste into a Youngstown storm sewer. Federal judge sentenced Ben Lupo to 28 months in prison and fined him $25,000 for violating the Federal Clean Water Act by ordering two former employees of his Hard Rock Excavating Company to dump oil and gas well waste into a storm sewer on Salt Spring Roads in Youngstown. For WSOM News, I'm Julio Fleur.
The Cumulus Health Club and Progressive Women's Care in Youngstown and Boardman present today's health tip. Pregnancy and childbirth are exciting, but they can also be stressful. So the best healthcare partner is the one you feel comfortable with and can communicate with easily. And since you already have a busy schedule, look for a practice like Dr. Canby's Progressive Women's Care, who works hard to provide you with personalized, comprehensive, and affordable care in obstetrics, gynecology, and infertility. Progressive Women's Care's experienced team of professionals assist women of all ages by providing individualized health care from family planning to the birth of your baby and into the later stages of life when women may face menopausal symptoms. The main office is located at 7600 Southern Boulevard. The north side office is at 500 Gypsy Lane. If you are pregnant, trying to become pregnant, or simply need your yearly exam, please call 330-629-8466 or visit progressivewomenscare.com.
Roholt Vision Institute.
Get to know Roholt Vision Institute, the premier LASIK and cataract center in Ohio, with offices in Canton, Canfield, and Alliance. We're talking with Jenna, ophthalmic technician at Roholt Vision Institute. So what's the first thing most patients say after surgery?
Wow, I can already see.
Their vision gets better that quickly?
Immediately better, yes. As the time progresses, it gets better and better and better, and then by the next day, you're usually 90%.
And it's not painful?
No pain. You go home and you sleep, and then the next morning you wake up and good to go.
And how long does it take?
About 20 minutes or so.
You had the surgery yourself. How much better is your vision?
Now I see 20/15 with no glasses, no contacts.
So in one word...
Amazing.
Roholt Vision Institute, specializing in LASIK and cataract surgery. Call 1-800-481-LASER or visit RoholtVision.com. That's 1-800-481-LASER or RoholtVision.com.
It's baseball time, Scrappers fans. The Scrappers return to Eastwood Field for a six-game homestand August 6th through the 11th. Highlighting the homestand is an appearance and bobblehead giveaway of Ray Boom Boom Mancini, Buck Knight, Friday Fireworks, Superhero Night, and Military Night. For more information, call 330-505-0000, friend them on Facebook, or visit mvscrappers.com. The Scrappers 2014 season is presented by Subway of Niles. Scrappers Baseball, baseball with bite.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back. I'm listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'm in studio with Six, and we're going to do an open mic for the rest of the day. And let's do this together. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229, and it's 23 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. And I am sitting here with Six, and I want to thank Rabbi Shapiro. Again, it's called Pushback. I know that many of you...
Boy, you bring this up. I mean, you want to talk about inflaming emotion.
Inciting riot?
And yeah, I mean...
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand... Personally, I don't understand why Israel hasn't just flattened them by now.
They can.
They can. Yeah, I mean, they're using a lot of restraint. I mean, you know, war. I mean, that's my problem with war and politicians all over the globe. When a country decides to go to war, it should be unlimited war. But the politicians refuse to go to unlimited war because they don't want the bad press. Because unlimited war is an ugly, ugly thing.
So why don't we do that? I mean, I don't understand this, you know.
Like when George Bush committed to Iraq.
I don't understand. I'm so
when
confused.
When George W. Bush committed to Iraq, they should have went in, and they shouldn't have left one stone on top of another and walked away.
I don't understand this politically correct, I don't want to hurt you, you're my friend. I don't understand. Somebody can explain it. Hey, South Carolina, good morning. How are you? Can you explain it?
Can't explain it, not a bit.
I can't explain it.
Yeah, me and South Carolina agree on this one. What's the purpose of war, South Carolina?
To kill people and break things.
and to make the other poor SOB die for his country.
It seems like nowadays the media controls wars.
Yeah, he's got a point there.
And I don't know if we'd have had the instant media in World War II, what would have happened. Because World War II, I mean, if you go back and you look at the pictures of London and you look at the pictures of Dresden and what was the other German? I can't remember the name of the other German. I mean, there was nothing left of those cities. Nothing. There wasn't one brick standing on top of another one.
I don't understand. I mean, if you know there's a war and you can go somewhere else, it's like a hurricane preparedness. You sound an alarm, you get out.
Oh, right.
It's like I said the other day, Tracy. It's like a boxing match, and the referee is the media, and that's how wars are fought.
Well, you know, and our friend Stanley keeps talking about Hiroshima and Nagasaki, but there's a quote from one of the commanding generals from World War II that I heard the other day, and they firebombed Tokyo a few days prior to that. They said he incinerated more people in Tokyo with the conventional firebombing than they did in Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Well, there is so much, I don't know, there's nothing feel good about war. And people want to be able to say, okay, we went in and we fought a civilized war.
You're
going in there, you're killing people, and that's the whole point. The whole point is to give your enemy every opportunity he can to die for his country. And that's the bottom line.
That's why I couldn't believe it during the Iraq War when they decided to have that whole embedded soldiers thing with the media. I was like, are you guys serious?
Well, no, they did that in a Second World War too.
But
the problem is they didn't have TV cameras, and also during the Second World War, all the newsreels ran through the censors. There was nothing that hit the theaters in a newsreel that wasn't run through a censor. As a matter of fact, I don't think anything hit the radio airwaves that didn't run through a military censor in Second World War. But, you know, but I just don't understand why, and this is across the world, why are we so afraid of declaring unlimited war? Because if you declare unlimited war, it's going to be short and brutal, or you don't go at all.
There's Stanley. Hi, Stanley.
That is so true. That is so true.
Hey,
because, I mean,
hold on, Stanley. Go ahead, South Carolina.
You can't play politics with war, and I say this about the Vietnam War. If the politicians would have allowed, you know, the U.S. fighters to ride to go ahead and go down Big Alley, which was sitting right there in Hanoi, and bomb the heck out of them, the war would have been over with.
Oh, there's some evidence that the North Vietnamese were getting ready to sue for peace after they had the B-52 strikes. And then they stopped the B-52 strikes because somebody decided they were inhumane.
I don't understand. It's a war. Listen, when I go out to fight, I try not to fight to the death. But if you pull your knife, I'm gonna pull my gun.
Right.
It is what it is. It's nothing personal. But I'm not gonna let you stab me, well, I sit there and say, well, I don't want to hurt you.
Right.
Yeah, and the media, what the media does is they play referee, but they let the other team cheat, you know? It's like
it just doesn't make sense to me.
Okay, Stanley, your turn.
Go ahead, Stanley.
No, it was wrong, period. I don't care what you're saying. There's many reporters.
What's wrong?
It was wrong to send pure ball. It was wrong to be
what
the only
wrong?
Country in the okay, it was wrong to be the only country in the world to send a nuclear bomb on Hiroshima. That was wrong.
All right, Stanley,
period.
Let me ask
that,
you
wait,
this.
There's
let
nothing
me ask
that justifies.
No, wait,
wait,
there, you.
Let me finish. Let me finish.
All right, go ahead.
There's nothing that justifies killing so much innocent people. Because if any other country around the world would have done that to us, we would have been the first one to say nothing justified that. Period.
You didn't hear the quote.
I don't care if it's your enemy. I don't care this. I don't care
Stanley.
About this. I am not. You should not be proud of that moment. Anybody who is proud of that moment, you, go back, go to that country, and please
you did not,
tell those people.
You did not.
Tell those
one
people
at a time,
that it was okay.
You did not hear the man's quote. The man's quote was, he incinerated more human beings with conventional firebombing the week before Hiroshima and Nagasaki than he did with the nuclear weapons in Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Good morning, 831. How are you this morning? Welcome to Tracy and Friends.
Oh, hey, Tracy. It's Redneck. Hearing pretty good.
Hey, Redneck.
The reason why we don't go full bore on people is because we want to make them our allies. Yes, six here. A guy you need to look up. Thomas F. Madden wrote a book called Empires of Trust, How Rome Built and America's Building a New World. And it talks a lot about this, like, you know, why we didn't completely level Iraq, because we want to make Iraq our friends. Haven't too much luck with that, but make it our friends, allies of us, who will help us keep things safe. That's the main reason.
I want you to know I did call and try to get the author on, and he was not taking interviews. So I want you to know,
okay.
I did go out and try to find them and try to get him on and talk to his publisher and talk to his publicist. And he's not doing interviews right now because he's writing another book.
I'm curious
because
we waged unlimited war in the Second World War, and now both Japan and Germany are our allies.
Yeah, but we also rebuilt them quite a bit. We had the Soviet Union to help. They were waging full against us, whereas Iraq, because they were just kind of around the edges, an American citizen gets killed by Palestinian terrorists and stuff. We couldn't go quite full attack. For example, didn't have a Pearl Harbor versus 9/11 as bad as it was. Iraq was happy. Iraq supported more attacks on our allies than directly attacking us.
I'm still not grasping because in my opinion, if we would have waged unlimited war against Iraq, we wouldn't be having this ISIS problem right now, which is going to come back and bite us in the backside.
Which is you're talking about the first time, right, Six? The first time we went into Iraq?
You mean under the first George Bush?
Yes,
we should have. Absolutely, absolutely. When they invaded Kuwait, we should have went in and just completely decimated the country. And then basically done the same thing we did with Germany after the Second World War.
So you justify killing millions of Iraqi and just destroying all this
Stanley.
Civilization? You justify it. You just said it, Six. We should
Stanley.
Have just gone there, dropped all the bombs and everything, and killed the millions of people, innocent people, and just justify it.
What happened in the Second World War, Stanley?
No. I'm asking you, Six. Are you
Stanley?
Are you conscious enough? Wait, Six. I'm asking you the question. Are you conscious enough to say that you are ready to kill a million Iraqi people, innocent people, and just drop that thing? If you're conscious enough to do that, good for you. I'm not.
Stanley, listen. I'm willing to kill anybody who comes trying to kill me.
How many innocent men, women, and women and children were killed in the Second World War, Stanley? War is not a good thing, and that's the problem with the limited wars that we keep fighting. Is it gives the politicians cover, because war is a nasty, filthy, dirty thing. It's a horrible thing.
Yeah,
it should never be fought
gotta,
unless it is absolutely necessary.
But when you go to war, but when you go to war and when you go to fight, you should be going to fight. You don't go to fight and then say, time out, wait a minute, hood up, gotta go. That's crazy.
Tracy.
You gotta remember that the Italian
people drug Mussolini
through the streets because he put them in a war that decimated their country.
Go ahead, South Carolina.
I've got a question for Stanley, and this will clear up to me where his thinking is on war. When Adolf Hitler declared war on France, on Germany, I mean on not on Germany but on Britain, did Adolf Hitler declare war, and did Germany declare war? And see, that's where the problem is. If Germany declared war on the rest of the world, then that's the entire country of Germany, not certain people. But when I go in there and I'm fighting Germans, if he's got a gun, unless he waves a white flag and tells me he's not my enemy, I'm going to blow his brains out. So are you saying that the country, if you're fighting war against a country, you shouldn't do that? You should fight war against an individual or individuals waging war against you? Is that what you're saying, Stanley?
I guess so, yeah. I don't think you should put the whole country. You should go against the individual. You should go get the person. You should try to limit the innocent people. If you have a problem with Saddam Hussein, go get the specialist SEAL team and go get them, period. You don't need to spend a million dollars, period. Period. If you got a problem with Bin Laden, go get him. Period. I do not agree.
Hold on, Stanley. Wait a minute. Stop. See, listen. I said this, and I said the same thing. I said, well, if you got a problem with Bin Laden or even Saddam Hussein, why didn't we just go over there, take the, you know, our Navy SEALs and our snipers, go in there and just, boop, take him out, assassinate
exactly.
him real quick, walk away.
Clinton said it the day before. He tried to.
But they said we're not allowed.
No. Yeah, that's true. I mean,
that's
international law, for one thing. Yeah, that's against international law to assassinate the head of a nation like that.
But we've done it many times. We've done it many times.
But again, we're not supposed to. It's against
international
law.
Yeah, but we've done it.
Wait a minute. Just because we've done it doesn't make it right.
And so have the Soviets. So have the Soviets and so have many other nations around the world. Absolutely.
Of course.
I'm not going to disagree with you. But the thing is, Stanley, when it comes to war, by doing what you want to do, you give the politicians cover for what we have, which is an endless war.
And it creates a power vacuum.
If they put their stones on the table and say, we're going to war and we are going to be out of there, we are going to turn the entire country into a parking lot, and we're going to be out of there.
I don't agree. I don't agree, Tracy, because you're killing millions of innocent people. And if you could stand in front of those millions of innocent people and say, it's okay, I'm sorry, you're a better
when you
human
go to
being
war,
than me.
When you go to war, you go to war to kill.
Yes.
You don't go to war. Stanley,
yes,
listen to what I'm saying. You don't go to war. Listen, you don't go to war to pity pat.
No,
that's not
I
what
agree
it
with
was
you.
About.
But you don't go to war to kill innocent people, too.
Yes,
Tracy.
You do.
You know, you,
yes,
no,
you,
you
do,
don't.
Stanley.
No, you don't.
Look at the history.
No, you don't.
Look at the history of warfare.
No, you don't.
Name me one war in the history of humankind where innocents were not killed.
I'm not saying it doesn't happen. You make sure that it happens the less often. You don't make sure that it happens.
But Stanley, here's another thing, Stanley. When you go in and take out a leader, you create a very serious power vacuum, and that can be very dangerous. As you look at Iraq, you look at Libya, it's not a good thing.
And Stanley, I mean, you have to completely destroy the other nation's will to fight. And the only way to do that is to destroy the nation's will, period. And that's the purpose of war.
So it's killing innocent people?
Yes. Yes, unfortunately it is.
No.
Because that's war.
No. It doesn't justify killing innocent people.
South Carolina, go ahead, South.
Stanley, let me explain something. In certain cultures, you know, their thoughts are me and my brother against my cousin. And then they go beyond that by saying me and my cousin against the world. You see, they don't care if an American kills one of their people. They're gonna wage war against all American people, innocent or not. Period. That's how war is fought. You have to match force with force. And in a lot of cases, you have to go beyond that in order to make sure that this person knows that, hey, we're going to fight war, and we're not going to play. You're going to fight war with us, you better bring a breakfast, lunch, and dinner, because we're going to be here for a while.
Well, I don't agree with you. I don't have that policy.
Stanley,
I don't agree with that. I don't see that way. And if I did see that way, by the way, all those, I don't know, was it a lieutenant or whatever, he came and basically started to shoot everybody in Iraq or Iran, I don't remember, and he was sniping and we arrested him. Why did we arrest this guy? Why did we arrest the guy who killed 10 or 20?
You're speaking of the My Lai massacre.
Yes.
But
you said innocent. But
Stanley,
he's innocent. He killed innocent people. He shouldn't be arrested.
Stanley,
concerning
Stanley,
your thing.
He deliberately shot non-combatants.
No. He had the right to shoot them. Hey, we were in war. He had the right to shoot them. We were in war.
Stanley,
you
have to understand what was going on there. You had people that were trying to surrender to him that he was killing. We don't kill people who are trying to surrender, because once you've surrendered, you have given up your will to fight.
Okay, we don't kill. Okay. Mm.
No, Stanley. See, South Carolina and I are both warriors. We understand this. You've never been a warrior.
No, and I'll never justify this. And I'm telling you, if you have the conscience to basically kill innocent people, good for you. I don't. If you have the conscience of going to all those people and say, war is war,
are you happy with the endless war that we are in?
No, I'm more happy with the endless war that we are in than killing millions of innocent people. I'm more happy of doing the way Tracy said it, of saying, if we have a problem, let's go get the people who have a problem. Let's not go kill every human being there because we have
a
problem.
Oh, Stanley, you're getting ready to shut off.
Sorry.
Stanley, you know better.
Stanley? No, we do not shoot people who are surrendering. Absolutely.
We do
not
shoot people who are surrendering. We had another case in Iraq that we did shoot people because we thought that some people had a weapon and we started shooting them because we thought this. Many cases have been done of that. So do not act like we did not shoot
people.
It's a mistake. They still did it.
Calm down. Chill. Relax.
Stanley, until you are a warrior, you do not understand this.
Hold on. I'm not a warrior, and I understand this.
No, Tracy,
I'm not a warrior, and I'm not going to war. I'm past the age of war. But let me say this: this is where patriotism has been taken away from the American people. We no longer feel we should fight for where we live. We no longer admire the country in which we abide, and because we no longer have reverence to it, we no longer respect it. We don't respect our procedure. We don't respect our constitution. We don't respect our government. We don't respect our history, and we don't respect America. We are no longer the United States of America, and because we don't teach this and we don't indoctrinate this into our people and to our citizens, we are aloof. And because we are aloof, people are not quite ready to die for what they believe in. You know, I say this often. The problem with Americans right now is that what's wrong with the black community? We don't have leadership that will die. We don't have presidents who are willing to take a bullet for our nation. Yet we send our young men over to war to take a bullet for something that has nothing to do with why we're there.
I agree.
Our problem is we have politicized everything in America, mm-hmm. but we have not made it to where we make good decisions based on common sense and based on the right thing, and we are no longer patriotic.
Right.
So, Stanley, you are, in some instances, you are right because of why we do what we do, whether it be Republican and or Democrat, because nothing that we see is real. Nothing that we see in our political structure, in our presidents, in our Congress, in our leadership, none of it is actually real in front of our eyes. There's always an agenda. There's always something hidden. Nothing is transparent. And so you are right about when we go to war and why we fight what we fight. We fight wars not because it's the right thing to do. We fight wars because there's an agenda that we want to accomplish. And that
right.
is a problem
any,
there.
And any politician that, you know, served in the military and they're proud of their service is considered a warmonger.
Correct. And so we send up young people over to war to fight for something that they love. But they don't realize in all actuality that they're fighting for something that's an agenda that's going to help two or three people. Right, wrong, or indifferent. And until we take our country back and we get in...
You racist.
Absolutely. And we get involved with a country in which we say we love, and we begin to agree on that which we agree with, and fight and argue and come up with commonalities and compromise on things we disagree with, we will always be in this situation. But when we go to war, we need to go to war. We don't need to go over there and try to do a political conflict that you're going to...
Police action.
Hey, we're okay, time out, injured on the field, ceasefire, come back in 72 hours. We need a media that's going to tell the truth.
Hello?
Yeah. Hello? What happened? Hello? What happened?
I think they lost Blog Talk. I got my radio turned on. I can hear them on the radio.
No, I'm not hearing anything. I don't know what's happening.
I'm not hearing anything either. Blog Talk's been acting kind of crazy.
Yeah, but it's Blog Talk's,
you know,
the problem.
Week or so.
I got the radio. I'm out here locally. I'm only like 10 minutes away from the studio. I got the radio on. I can hear them clear as day.
Oh, you could hear them?
Yeah,
well,
see, I'm in Ohio, so I can listen to
them
on AM radio.
Oh, okay. Blog Talk has been acting crazy. Cool.
Okay. Let me go ahead and make a call. I'm coming in. Appreciate it. All right. Hello? Hello? You guys there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Stanley, tell me something.
Go ahead.
What do you think? What's the deal with Stringhand's girlfriend, man? Why did she wait until he was going to see the daggone Hall of Fame to acquit him? I mean, the way she did, I think that's pretty foul, man.
What happened? What happened?
Michael Strahan, the guy that's on, he's a football player. He got
indicted
for the
So you, yeah, he got inducted. I saw his speech. Yeah, what happened?
His girlfriend breaks up with him that day and publicizes it before the night before he goes on to get his be inducted into the Hall of Fame. I mean, she put it out there in the news media with TMZ and everybody.
Why? Yeah. Why did she break up with him?
Don't know.
Wow.
I mean, you can break up with somebody in private, but to do it on the day the man goes into the NFL Hall of Fame,
wow,
and to do it in such a public way, I don't know, man.
There's a moment. There's a reason. Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean,
you better have taken all your shit out of my house if you're going to do that in public. I better come home and not see anything that's yours in here.
Yep.
Because
all
if I see things that's yours, I'm going to do, like, you know that movie? What's that movie of Whitney Houston?
Waiting to Exhale.
Waiting to Exhale. Now you're going to see Men to Exhale. Man, I'll burn every fucking shoes, everything that you got. Be ripped in part. What happened to my clothes? I don't know. I don't even rip them. I just put them in a garbage can and just put them in the machine in front of the woman. Oh, damn, y'all. The machine is going to squash them. I guess you're just with your little pair of earrings and that's it. Jesus, stupid.
I was like, man, oh, man. I mean, break up with me, but gosh, man. I mean, she did it, like, national TV. He's in Canton, Ohio, getting inducted, and she's telling the news media, hey, I'm breaking up with you. So
yeah.
I'm like, well.
Damn,
I
would freak out. I would freak out if you do that.
But I don't know what's going on with Block Talk. This has happened on a couple of shows where they dropped the host. Yeah. So now what part of New York are you in, Sally?
Brooklyn, Queens.
Brooklyn, Queens. I actually live in the Bronx.
Yeah. That part, but trying to do different things and everything. Manhattan is too expensive. I can't afford it. I'm not a millionaire. I was
contemplating.
Yeah, one president.
Vice
President of the United States, Speaker of the House. You're right. Sorry, President.
Didn't I just tell you
Senate,
I just took the test?
Fourth Secretary of State, Secretary of the Treasury, Secretary of Defense, Attorney General.
That's why they never fly together.
Yep.
Because they don't all want to die together.
Oh, what do you think about the CIA spying on the Senate?
I think it's pretty cool.
But you know what, though? The thing is, they're not talking because the only way that can be legal is if the Attorney General approves it.
You leave them alone. South Carolina, you were saying something. Sticks is over here trying to prove that the president of the Attorney General's bad.
Well, I tell you, we lost it, Tracy. Me and Sam were having a conversation about New York because we lost you all together.
New York?
Yeah, I know.
What's going on in New York?
What's going on in New York?
Oh, nothing. I was just telling you.
We lost you, Tracy. We didn't hear you what you were talking. We lost you since you started doing a little speech and then...
Yeah. I'm quite sure, you know what? You guys just like disconnected me because you didn't want to hear it.
I will say what we were talking about was why did Michael Strahan's girlfriend announce that she is leaving him while he is being inducted in the NFL Hall of Fame?
I don't know.
Almost simultaneously.
I guess what? Nicole Richie didn't want to be bothered no more because I guess they tell me he was doing the Robin Thicke.
And I said that if she would have done that to me, she better have took all her clothes and everything out of my place, or else I would have done the Waiting to Excel part man to her. I would have burned every clothes that she has and everything that she has. And so, damn, I guess you don't have any clothes.
Stanley.
Stanley.
Listen.
Terrestrial radio.
Listen, he actually he actually, from my understanding, he was cheating on her. She was cheating on him, and she said she ain't gonna put up with that, because she getting child support from what's his name? What's his man's name? From Eddie Murphy. Because remember, she's Eddie Murphy's ex-wife. So she don't need his paycheck. She was just there for the ride, and he was doing the blurred line thing because he forgot to come home one night. So I guess she said whoever he took it, he knew it was coming because, you know, he knew he was busted, and what he didn't work
home last night.
That's what I'm saying. So, you know, people do what they do. If I had known he was single, I might have gone over to Canton, Ohio.
But I didn't know
he was single again.
Crazy, did you see the big smile on Kelly Ripa's face, though?
Was Kelly smiling?
He was cheesing all over the place.
Tell her don't cheese. Tell her she got her husband at home. Don't blur the line. Don't blur the line, y'all.
But you go black, you never go back.
Oh, you don't have to worry about that because you remember she ain't gone white yet. Her husband is not. He's Hispanic. He's Latino.
Yeah, that's what I know. He went a little bit darker berry.
Yeah, she's off the cliff anyhow. But don't let Jeff know because you know Jeff don't like Kelly Ripa.
Why don't Jeff like Kelly Ripa?
I don't know. He has his issues, but then he thinks Washington Smith looks good, you know. So whatever.
Debbie Washington Smith, the hottest woman in politics.
I'm not into women, but I got good eyes, and I'm like, no, that ain't it. You know, but maybe, you know, to each his own. Everybody's got their own flavor of the day. But some people need better glasses. You know, Jeff wears glasses a lot. Maybe we should get vision. I'll get you guys some benefits.
Jeff doesn't do beer goggles.
He's gonna do Coke bottle. You know, even between Coke bottle bottom.
Yeah.
He gonna need them.
Some people like
Neapolitan
though.
If you like Neapolitan, Neapolitan is okay as long as you know what color the rainbow is.
The rainbow.
The problem is when you don't know what the rainbow is.
Oh, my.
Haven't you heard? You got the Neapolitan is, you know, it's the Neapolitan ice cream. Some people love it.
I like it occasionally.
That's because you're from a different generation.
Oh, yeah, I heard you talking to Diva yesterday. And
what?
She was talking about having to wear only three sets of clothes a week.
Yeah.
Until... I wore the same pair of pants to school every day when I was a kid.
That's what I'm saying.
You come home, you took them off, you folded them up, and you wore them the next day.
And women and your friends they talked about you because they got to change clothes every day.
No,
they
everybody was in the same boat.
Had best dressed, and I was just Tracy.
Yeah, see, no, everybody was in the same boat where I went.
We didn't have that thing.
You had school clothes, and you had work clothes,
and church clothes,
Right. And school clothes turned into work clothes.
Patches.
Coat of many colors.
I resemble that man.
that was the joke in our house. Patch on a patch and a hole in the middle.
I told y'all my mama cut off. They go and find some frilly, crazy, wacky looking. Oh, I got pictures.
Used to take the hems out of them and let them fray.
No. They put new material on the bottom. It was like I had my own little bell bottom going on. It was bad.
And Eric, I'm with you, man. My mom bought all my clothes three sizes too big at the beginning of the school year, so they was fitting by the end.
Yeah, exactly. I know exactly, man. I had a choice. Summer vacation came where I had a choice: 5 pairs of pants or a bicycle.
Yep,
bicycle. If you don't know that your bicycle was your Cadillac, your car, it took you everywhere, and if you ever lost it, you would walk it.
Yeah. And when they bought you your shoes in the fall, your school shoes, they went slip, slop, slip, slop, slip, slop, so by the end of the school year, they fit right.
I have a question for you guys. I gotta leave, and tomorrow, you know, tomorrow's Thursday?
Thursday, yeah.
Me and Mark are here tomorrow.
Mark knows it all.
I don't know what in the world is going on, but when do you start getting clothes every day and every week? When did this start happening? We'll do this again tomorrow.
Yeah.
Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229.
I guess the cheating card brought him to... Go ahead.